gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. It's Friday. But let's just not pretend that this is not weird. We have paparazzi in the studio with us.
Yeah.
And if you notice better lighting on Ustream, it's because they're shooting promos for the new current TV show.
That's right.
There's a guy with a camera right there.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. And we have a lot more light in here. And we did point out to everybody that we're all over 30. Some of us way over 30.
All of us way over 30.
Yeah. All right.
Way over 30?
Oh, I see. Yeah, well.
Way over 30 stone in my case.
They're going to have a hard time getting a shot of John Fugelsang because he's in New York. And he's the prettiest one.
Good morning, children.
Good morning.
New York Bureau.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
That is some lighting on the Ustream. Everybody should log on and see that. I can see every pore you've ever had.
Yeah.
Thanks.
This
is beautiful.
Great, thanks.
Nice.
Can you tell I haven't slept since 2004? I got the entire set of Louis Vuitton luggage under my eyes. Waka, waka, waka.
John Fugelsang,
I think I know the feeling.
The lights went in for the current broadcast, which will start in, we don't know, whenever all the thingahoozles are in.
Yes.
Yeah, when can I see you on my TV five more
There's
days?
Not a hard start date yet, but
no.
We have an idea.
Let me just say, I am not ready for my close-up. this is very...
Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
I walked in here, what I say, because I was like, this is entirely too much light for a woman of my advanced years.
No, well, you all look very, very good on the Ustream. You guys are bathed in golden light. It's great. And it's as opposed to the snuff film lighting you've created here for me in the New York Bureau.
Yeah.
It's terrific, by the way.
I turned on the lights this morning, and the guy said, ooh, they're a little green. Is that good or bad?
That's our pallor from working in morning radio for
many
years.
Green. I was there last week on Friday, and Tony and I were acting out scenes from The Matrix in your studio. Okay.
What's the first thing I did, Chris? I turned lights out. I was like, do we need
all of them
this?
On? And then
someone bring some scarves to put over the lamps for Mama?
And then the second thing you did was you opened your compact to see if you had enough powder on your face.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is not the kind of radio I'm accustomed to. I want to go back to the old days when they can't see you.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Yes.
You are going to have to throw up a headshot of me or something, because I don't think you can put that kind of lighting in the New York Bureau. It upsets the vermin on the floor.
No, you know what? I think perfect for the ecclesiastical MOOC, you will be the voice of God. You are just the disembodied Wizard of Oz voice on the show every Friday.
That shall be me, my child.
Pay no attention to that man on the island.
Or here's another idea. Move to L.A. Ecclesiastical comedy Jesus. Bring me my personal comedy Jesus. And
I just spent half of February in L.A. I'm moving back. Don't worry.
Yes.
That's right. Although in L.A., that's your own personal Jesus, but yeah.
Stay without a Mexican.
You got to hear Johnny Cash's cover of that song, by
it's
the way.
It's a good song. Heard it.
Yeah, well, I missed you guys last week. We had this great show in Phoenix, and I came into the studio, and y'all were away.
I know.
Gallivanting and frolicking.
And then John Fugelsang on stage with the Chicago Blues All-Stars for Chicago Sexy Liberal, sold-out house, sang Sexy Liberal Man. It really was almost too much.
It was a really sensational show. I believe that was the largest audience we've played to. It was well over 3,000 people.
Yep.
And, man, it was just fantastic. You were on fire. The feedback was great. The audience was great. It was a really, really special show.
Not that kind of feedback.
No. Yeah, we've got
the sound guy just adjusted his levels.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that
was
like?
No. As you know, John, Sexy Liberal Show generally pulled directly from my ass. Here's one thing I was startled about television.
What?
Chris, you told us that we have to have rehearsals?
Yes.
When is that, next week?
No, 2 weeks from now.
Rehearsal, as I've mentioned,
do you
is
have
for
your dance moves down?
Rehearsal is for... Yeah. See, now I'll never direct the Oscars, which is my dream.
It's not like theater rehearsal. It's just coming in here and, you know, you hit your mark already, Steph.
Yeah, I think they just want to make sure the cameras are working and that you're
lit
well.
I hope I get it. I really do. Yeah. Oh, my God.
We
rehearsal.
Have to work blocking.
I hope I get it.
We already got it.
Oh. So it's just rehearsal. Oh, my God. Jim just did a high kick. Okay. Awesome. I don't know. You know what I've been saying, though, John, is I'm fairly certain that we could be the liberal, what's his name, Michael Savage. I think we get fired the first day. I'm almost certain Al Gore is going to call on the big jangly 1940s telephone. Yes, sir, Mr. Vice President.
Stephanie. Yeah, this is Al Gore. I want to rethink this, actually. Having seen the rehearsal, we're going to go another direction.
Is there any way we can cut the feed so Al Gore can't see the rehearsal?
Do you have Danny Bonaducci's number handy?
It'll
right
be funny.
Al, I'm right here. I'm ready to go.
You know what would be funny if we just have his picture right behind me?
Of
just,
Danny Bonaducci?
Just looming over
yeah. Oh, no, Al Gore.
Glaring.
No, Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, Danny Bonaducci? Just
with a knife in his hand. Yeah.
Just let, like he does, loom over my career.
He's okay. Been known to do that.
Yeah.
You should just say, I'm Danny Bonaducci from the New York studio and tell the fans that and try to build up your viewership that way.
Mm.
I've had my roids. I'm ready.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll let you... Oh, I'm going on CNN's Reliable Sources with Howard Kurtz this Sunday.
Mm, nice.
I believe it's 8 a.m. Pacific.
So there'll be slightly unreliable sources when you're on, I think.
Yes.
He
wrote me and said, I will promote the congratulations on Current. I'll promote it if you come on and talk about Rush. And I said, I just wrote, okay, God, I'm such a slut.
Nice.
And I got an LOLOL for Howard Kurtz. All right. He was highly entertained by that.
Better to get one of those from Tom Brokaw.
Yeah.
LOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOLOL Rowls. R-O-F-L.
Because people write back and go, L-O-L, L-O-L-L-L-L. Ow. Ow.
Whoa. I'm from Lillehammer.
Uh-huh.
From the Winter Olympics.
All right, so, yeah. John...
Tom Brokaw, Uvula Olympics.
All right, so let's get to John Fugelsang. We have not talked about, I mean, so much breaking. What time is it, and how many sponsors has Rush Limbaugh lost? Is it, he's over 40.
Yeah. Yes.
He said everything's cool, my friends.
They're
just
like
losing
fries.
A French fry. Funny that he would make a fast food analogy.
Yeah.
It's like losing one French fry.
He's driven away more sponsors than Lindsay Lohan did her entire time at Betty Ford.
Hey.
As you probably know by now, he had 5 minutes, 33 seconds of dead air
yesterday in New York. Improvement.
Which was people were like, wow, now
hey,
I like
this.
The show's
much better.
So this hasn't turned out all bad.
Yeah. Try to imagine you're listening to Rush Limbaugh in New York, you know, the flagship station, and there's 5.5 minutes of silence because no one will give up money.
Yeah.
And over
meanwhile,
80% of his ad time was PSAs that were donated for free.
Yeah, well, and meanwhile, John, you know, any of us in radio know that this is a load of but he's like, everything's fine. There's nothing more to see here. It's not fine.
It's not fine.
Even for Rush, it's not fine when you've lost 40-something.
When you're running PSAs on that big of a show, something's wrong.
And also,
I'm not dead. I feel happy.
Yes, being a radio broadcast professional myself, can you hear it in his voice? A lot of people have written me that.
A little bit of fear.
You can hear he's a little scared.
Yeah.
He sounds like we did when we filled in for Imus on MSNBC back when we cared about being on television and it made us nervous.
Yeah.
And now we don't care.
About that is your sweat stains.
And that wasn't even nervousness. That was just hormonal and too many lights, too many television lights.
That's why
this is my goal, is we will do this show with just miners' helmets on our heads.
There's
significantly
flattering.
Less light than there was on MSNBC. I'm older now. I can't.
You're much older.
No, we're just gonna have flashlights if I get my way.
Flashlights under our chin?
Mm-hmm. And blankets. Hello, everybody.
I know it's almost like Rush isn't enjoying hate or defending Coney's resistance army. It's just I don't hear the joy in his voice this week.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, we were saying, John, you don't know when someone. Well, first of all, it's different because television. As I'm sure we will be, Exhibit A, you can get fired in a nanosecond.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah. So he didn't lose his... I mean, he still has a radio show. He actually still has another television show. But, you know, television, they tend to be a little more sensitive.
Well, and again, the Imus thing doesn't compare to the Rush thing at all. And the big news for me this week is this false equivalency meme the right's throwing up about Bill Maher. Well, where's that outrage when Bill Maher said he thinks about Sarah Palin? And I want to talk about this all day, but I'll point out one thing about Imus. What Imus did was much more sexist than racist. White people try to say nappy-headed all the time. It was calling college athletes hoes that got him fired. But Imus didn't lie. And Rush Limbaugh lied when he talked about Ms. Fluke. He lied when he said that it's making taxpayers pay for contraception.
Exactly, John. I've been saying that all week.
apology. He lied in his apology.
Right. I was saying the entire premise was incorrect, and he knew it. So that's exactly right. And
hello, I lied.
I mean, there's a similarity, John, in that they both picked powerless. There was a combination of sexism and, in Imus's case, racism, but they picked someone powerless. You cannot make an analogy to someone that is asking to be vice president of the United States. They're getting in the political game. You know, that's different than someone that's a private citizen, right?
And, you know, Bill has made sexist humor, but Bill is not a sexist. Bill has stood up for feminist politics his entire career. When Bill Maher lies about a powerless woman, when Bill Maher lies in his apology, when Bill Maher spends 20 years trying to undermine feminist politics and insulting women, then you're allowed to compare him to Limbaugh.
Yeah. Well, and he made the best point business-wise. He's like, I don't have sponsors. You know, I mean, he's a comedian, A.
Bill's
B,
a comedian.
He's on HBO. He's not, he doesn't have a spot. I mean, if they...
But also, he is a comedian.
Look, by the way, let me just say, all y'all that took any footage of any sexy liberal show, you got me. Yes, I say naughty things about people on the right. I mean, right.
But you go after elected officials. One thing I'll say about the sexy liberal show, we don't go after conservative folks. I go out of my way to be nice to conservative folks, and I welcome any conservative people in the audience at every show we do, because it's very important that we go after those in power. We don't attack down. That's why the right has a hard time being funny, because they're all about attacking down. Bill Maher attacks powerful women.
Well, like, John, when we started Sexy Liberal Tour, that's what you said. You know, you and Hal have worked comedy club. I've never left my house generally for 20 years, but you guys. But there is. Anybody that goes knows there can be a really racist, sexist, homophobic sort of bent to, you know, the mainstream comedy clubs. And that's why Sexy Liberal is turning that paradigm on its ear. We're making fun of, in our mind, right, the sexist, racist, homophobes, the bullies.
The people in power.
Hickory Dick.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
But that stuff is funny for like all of 5 minutes. If you go to a comedy, and again, you'll have a great time in comedy clubs, but yeah, they tend to be cesspools of racism and sexism and repod jokes and all kinds of disgusting things. And when you're attacking down, yeah, if you're drunk enough, it might be funny for 5 minutes, then you feel dirty after a while. And that's why Fox News has never been able to get a comedy show going on the air, because it's all about either attacking the less fortunate or attacking the politicians. Class traitorous enough to try to help the less fortunate. That's why progressive comedy works better. That's how it's always been since Mark Twain, since The Fool and King Lear. We're attacking up, not down.
And we have the prettiest ones, like John Segal singing Health Parks.
Yes,
and
we do.
Pretty,
had a Shakespeare reference.
Right? There you
go. You did already at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I know.
Yeah. And let me add a fart joke.
Right.
18 minutes F. Eyebrow, lowbrow, unibrow. 18
all
minutes.
All the food groups.
18 minutes after the hour. Right back. Fridays with Fugle Saying on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
I get it, because they're shooting for the TV.
Yes.
They're shooting the pictures today, too.
Yes.
Promo pictures for Current.
I understand TV has pictures.
Yeah, look what happens already with this. You see this? Ustream, they've already given me a Current coffee
mug.
To just be casually drinking.
You got a mug?
Yeah.
I have a coffee, yeah.
They really are serious.
John, it's going to be like friggin' NASCAR in here. Seriously, did you see the email yesterday? The guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money? Someone's sending me 75 baseball hats.
So we're going to have to try to bump you off the track like Danica.
Yeah.
Danica Patrick?
Patrick, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost said Danica McKellar, which is something.
This is the I don't give a flying phase of my career, so I'm not. No, because I go to spinning every day after the show, so I'm not there. They want me in the baseball hat, and so Newsbusters, go ahead and get your lesbian gym teacher thing ready for my first day on Current.
You don't look like a lesbian gym teacher
today.
You're
not femme enough for that. But here's my question.
blah, blah, blah.
What kind of hats are you going to be wearing? Like just logo hats every day?
I don't know.
But you're awesome. Very picky with the hats you wear.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. I'm very, very picky.
You should wear a 10-gallon hat and try to fix the headphones.
It can't be doofy. It can't be like a guy's golf hat. It's got to be
Can it be like an LPGA golf hat?
No.
No.
It's black with white writing. That's it.
Yeah, it's got to be some really cute-looking hat sponsored by a company that's paid you a lot of money to wear it.
And
thank you, John. And
hat.
I do feel super. And I do look cute in this hat. Thank you.
Payola for your head.
All right.
I'm super.
Marcus Bachman as my stylist, choreographer, stylist, choreographer.
nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
Okay. yeah, oh, by the way, Chris, you just told me this morning.
What?
This is because I don't give a flying... I don't even know any of the details of this. Because they told us it's like a reality show. They're just turning cameras on and we just do our thing.
Right.
But
yes.
You told me, I didn't know that they're on during the commercial breaks.
They're going to be on during the commercial breaks, apparently.
Because it is like if Friars Club meets a loading dock in here normally.
Yeah, you're going to have
I'm
to
like,
watch
all
your
right.
language.
All right, do you really want to keep the microphone on during the breaks?
The guy said to me yesterday, if we fight, they want to capture the fight.
Oh, so you and I will have to recreate the magic of that C-word morning.
C-word incident.
All right. Mm-hmm. And we can recreate the magic of...
You're fired.
Carnival?
That's your word?
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's
your
word.
Uh-huh. Cabana? Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Gina in Illinois. Was it Sexy Liberal? Hi, Gina. Hello, Gina.
Hello.
Gina, going once.
She got spooked
Hi.
By the camera.
Oh, there you are.
Oh,
Hi.
I'm sorry.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you I saw you in Chicago, and I had such a wonderful time.
Aww,
tell us.
Yes, but even if you guys hadn't have showed up, I would have had a terrific time because the band was so good.
Chicago
Testify.
Blues All-Stars, Dr. Dan, my good friend.
Yeah, and every time I would look at Dr. Dan, I'd start to giggle because he looked like he was playing a teeny tiny toy guitar.
Dr. Dan, by the way, we're going to have Dr. Dan on because
there's some.
He was just in the Chicago Tribune, Gene. I don't know if you know who he is. 7 feet tall. He's my old radio producer, famous orthopedic surgeon, Chicagoan of the year, sexy liberal. He has these clinics where they help whoever needs it, with even if they don't have insurance. He's, you know, he's gone to Haiti. I mean, he's just an amazing human being.
And anybody who's worked with Stephanie has a right to sing the blues.
Yes. Thank you, John.
Are they on Facebook? Because I wouldn't mind seeing them again somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Check it out. They play all over
just
Chicago.
Just search for Chicago Blues All-Stars.
And if you go to the Sexy Liberal site, it'll link to them as well.
That's my girlfriend Lisa said her favorite part was the two black ladies in the band that were sitting directly behind me. She said it was like you were in church and everything you said, they were laughing
like
and going, that's right. Yeah, testify.
They were wonderful.
Anyways,
all right.
Have a great day, you guys.
Thank you, honey.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It. Shirley in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey,
Hi,
Shirley.
We love you here in Phoenix, believe it or not.
Thank you.
We love Phoenix.
We love Phoenix.
Okay. I'm upset with Bill Maher.
Okay.
Okay.
The fact is that he asked liberals and Democrats to accept Rush Limbaugh's apology. He apologized, and I'm thinking, Ms. Fluke did not accept his apology.
Yeah.
Right.
And basically told her to move on. And also I want to have you talk about what Carl Levin wants to do.
Oh, he's, and again, I know the right wing's going to go crazy. He says he thinks the Armed Forces Network should drop Limbaugh. He's
Absolutely.
Saying he wouldn't legislate it.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, he said, I'd love to see them drop it, but I don't think I'd legislate it.
A lot of vets think that, too. A lot of vets think that.
Yeah. And surely a lot of people think that they should get
Stephanie Miller.
Because I'm a slutty Bob Hope.
You
they
are.
The troops love me. Okay.
You're like Bob Hope
and Anita Ekberg.
No, yeah, you're like a slutty Gina Lola Brigida.
I'm just saying, we don't have any principles here on
right.
the left. It's just, how can this help my career? Can I get that slot?
Britt Eklund.
And you know what? Bill Maher's defense of Rush Limbaugh was more Bill Maher looking out for liberals by saying that by liberals not accepting the apology, it was making them look bad.
Yeah.
That was the point he was making. He wasn't defending what Limbaugh said.
Yep. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't believe I'm actually meeting you. You know, the news is so much better with you on it.
Did you see that? I just reacted like a cockroach when they turned on too many lights in here.
I'm
Turn that off! Okay. The current team is in here shooting today. We will be starting sometime soon when all the technical stuff is
As soon as we know a definite date, we will let you know.
Yes. And then we will teleport John Fuglesang here because he's the prettiest liberal ever.
Oh,
who's the prettiest liberal?
No,
who's the most handsome?
No.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number told me.
Your audience is the prettiest liberals. There were some good-looking people in Phoenix and Chicago, I got to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not too shabby, lady. Mm-hmm. Not too shabby. Mm-hmm.
I don't need to know anything about your road stories, my friend.
Oh, yeah, my road stories. Yes, because I have the glamorous road life. That's me. I'll be talking about my pay-per-view movies. Hey, can I tell you about a new bar at the Pacific Standard? They have a new drink in Park Slope, Brooklyn. It's called the Santorum.
Awesome. Awesome.
The actual drink is, as you know, Santorum is a sometimes frothy, usually slimy mixture of fecal matter and lubricant. I didn't make
Beat
it up.
Beat up, everybody.
The new drink at the Pacific Standard is Bailey's, orange vodka, bitters, and chocolate flakes.
Wow.
Awesome.
Oh, dude.
Santorum. Yeah, flat. Okay.
Yikes. I used to like Park Slope, but now.
Yeah. that's a slippery Park Slope.
Ow.
Down with Santorum.
Dude.
Our favorite. Have you heard these Santorum robocalls, John?
I have not.
Hello, I am a Jew from Massachusetts. So now everyone that calls the show is, Hello, Stephanie, I am a black from New York. Mike and Raleigh has graced us with this is a robocall for the mayor in
Rock Ridge, which is in
Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
The mayor who is a blah.
The sheriff.
Yes. Exactly.
Hi, my name is Howard Johnson, and I'm a Jew from Rock Ridge.
And this is Harriet Van Johnson. I'm a Christian from Rock Ridge.
If you believe, as we do, that the governor is overstepping himself, please help us stop William J. LePetitmane.
As governor, he appointed a blah sheriff, which just goes to show that he is the leading asshole in the state.
The governor was also responsible for snatching huge tracts of land and selling it to the railroads, after working up a number 6 on our fair city.
Howard Johnson is right.
Hedley Lamarr is the only candidate who can be trusted to uphold our traditions of authentic frontier gibberish.
This Tuesday, vote for Hedy.
Not Hedy, it's Hedley.
Yay. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Mike and Raleigh, who surprised me by coming to Chicago Sexy Liberal. And how about that rock star welcome he got, John Fugelstein?
Fantastic to see. Yeah, well, the fans love it.
Yeah. Mary in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
I have to say that the caller that called about Bill Maher, I agree with her. I don't think we should accept Rush Limbaugh's apology because it was no apology. But the other thing is, I have my undies in a bunch because I am the mother of a 14-year-old girl, and I am out to protect her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't like what they're going to do to her, and it's her future that's at stake, and it's not comfortable to have my undies.
Mary, that's why I think the president addressed it perfectly, because he put it in relation to his daughters, you know? You don't want your daughters to grow up thinking if they speak out on it. I mean, because look at how eloquent and compelling her testimony was. That's why they went crazy, you know?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
She was an articulate, beautifully spoken young woman, and Rush couldn't handle that because he couldn't even pretend to be that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, the young woman part aside.
But. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, as you know, Rush has called me a babe, which is apparently a gateway word, John. That's all I'm saying. Because
Stephanie Miller is, who is a babe, by the way? I must.
All right, anyway, I just think I'm going to birth.
That's a gateway to being attractive, and that's.
But you know what? He's trying to talk to me in code again, Chris. Because yesterday I heard him say, "I don't want to listen." Somebody say, "Oh, this is because Sinister's wife is a babe." I don't notice babe because I've got one. Don't you like that ownership thing?
Yeah.
Like I own a babe.
Yeah. I got her.
I don't notice babes anymore because I've got one. I've got my own.
Right. Right, when you paid the gay man $5 million to sing at your wedding, of course.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. By the way, he does have an offer of a new sponsor, Ashley Madison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
.com offers to buy Limbaugh ads. We are in the business of selling affairs, and our audience is absolutely his audience.
Yeah.
This is what's become of the Family Values Party. He's lost, almost 50, I guess, national advertisers. I loved him trying to say, they're not really advertisers. They don't really advertise in my show. They don't.
They're just French fries. Stray French fries.
Right, okay.
Yeah. He would know about that.
So funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
So AshleyMadison.com, which encourages affairs, has offered to buy all the excess inventory on Rush Limbaugh's show. Their website, by the way, motto is Life is Short, Have an Affair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
Well, that's pretty cool because my ultimate fantasy is seducing the wife of the guy who runs Ashley Madison. Because what could be funnier?
You're a scamp. Ruth in Michigan. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm a
exhausted Christian from Michigan.
Okay.
I was calling about the Rush Limbaugh kerfuffle, and I think people are really missing the point that birth control should be a right, especially for women, because it's how women control their economic power.
Yes.
Yep.
Can't be economically successful or equal in your company or in your career unless you can control when and if you have children.
Yeah. Oh, they know that. They know.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody talks about this. And I'm raising an 18-year-old daughter. I'll tell you, what Rush Limbaugh said to that girl is horrible. She goes to University of Michigan, and they are up in arms about him there. The women on that campus it's like war. They are so angry, so upset.
Yeah.
And they have every right.
Yeah, and first of all, she in no way was talking about her own personal sex life in the first place. And number two, she's a 30-year-old in law school. Is there something about an adult woman talking about, you know, using birth control that's inherently slutty? I mean, it's just the
whole... To him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she has every right to discuss it in terms of her own sexuality. She has every right to.
Yeah.
That women are sexual beings just like men are. And, you know, it's the same double standard. A guy uses a condom, he's a stud. A woman uses birth control, she's a slut. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't.
Somebody.
I didn't want kids at 18. Did you?
Yeah. Ruth's. Pardon me. Pardon me. Oh, at 18? No, I was still I was still confused.
Well, know, men are allowed to tell women they can't use birth control when men stop trying to have sex with women. Then they're allowed. When they leave women alone sexually, they're allowed to lecture that sort of thing. Until then, they don't. And if you believe that birth control is a legitimate health issue, then we're all sluts now.
Well, and Ruth, I don't know where it was, somebody was putting, I think whether it's a legislation or an idea, but, you know, to try and show the absurdity of this, you know, putting men through all these hoops to get Viagra. Mm-hmm. You know, you should have to have a, you know, psychological counseling, a rectal exam, you know, all of the, you know, have it on your permanent record. I mean, it literally is, you know, showing how absurd it is. This is just about shaming women, these transvaginal probes.
Exactly.
Well, it is, and I am actually the official Cialis rep of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh.
So
you really rep Cialis?
Are you calling from your twin bathtubs?
I am. Actually, I was just at a meeting where we all had our own bathtubs.
Wow. Did the walls appear?
The Cialis boardroom is
the Cialis star chamber.
You know what? I've seen the executives of my company. I don't want to see one of them in a bathtub. Not one.
Well, you know what? When you create a device that can actually help you smuggle Cialis into the Dominican Republic, then Rush will have you advertise on a show.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Ruth. Appreciate it. Oh, by the way, John, we were saying, I understand part of what Bill Maher's talking about, because we were saying boycott makes us a little hinky here in radio land. Mm-hmm. Because we were saying, A, you know, advertisers can go, you know what, we're just not going to buy talk radio at all because it's too controversial, you know, and then we all pay the price for Rush's sins, right?
Of course.
This has happened to Bill, obviously, in commercial television. So it just, and we were saying sometimes people don't understand. They're like, I'm going to boycott you until you drop carbonite. I'm going to boycott carbonite. And it what happened is exactly the way it should happen in terms of the free market, don't you think?
I think
people
so as well,
contacted
although,
though, and they made the right decision. Mm-hmm. We think, and you know, but what we're saying is don't boycott us or our sponsors because they happen
Seth.
To also sponsor Rush.
You're right, and I think that what Bill said was actually, in a way, him trying to help talk radio of all stripes, because, yeah, you don't want to have a wave of sponsors leaving, although Bill didn't really get fired from ABC because of sponsors leaving. He got fired because the network was terrified,
right.
And Ari Fleischer was speaking in code. That's why he lost his gig. But
the only way to fight back,
is
to type
Stephanie
in every box you can find.
But the thing about Bill asking us to accept Russ's apology, it's not for us to accept the apology. It's for Sandra Clark.
Right.
And
right.
She hasn't.
But again, I think Bill was more talking about liberals seeming ungracious by still piling on Limbaugh after he issued this apology. Now, he has a right to say that, and we have a right to not agree with it. But I do see the point he was making, that it does make liberals look bad, and maybe he was protecting himself a little bit because now you see that the right has just gone Bill Maher crazy. But there is no way you can compare what Bill Maher has said to what Rush Limbaugh said over the past 20 years.
Well, I love the that they're saying it's a left-wing conspiracy, that the president apparently planted her, made Rush. And see, I think her name, I think that's a right-wing conspiracy, John, because
yes.
Chris had actually dumped me on my own show yesterday because that is a hard name to say properly.
She left the L out of it.
And they're trying to get...
And you pronounced the U the wrong way.
They're trying to get liberals thrown off the air just by this story.
That's why I keep saying fluke, because even though I know it's the wrong pronunciation,
right.
I'm not going to step in it.
Well, she might be from that town in Austria that I did a bit on a couple years ago.
Yeah, that we won't be doing it again. by the way, the boycotts from the right, not doing quite as well. The anti-gay group, you know, the 1 Million Moms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm have to call them again today like we did a few
weeks
ago.
Let's do that.
Because I couldn't find Ellie's knickknack shop in...
Ellie's this and that.
This and that in Blount County, Alabama.
Mm.
1 Million Moms was outraged that JCPenney would affiliate itself with a high-profile homosexual entertainer.
Shocking.
Like Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah.
Its attempt to boycott the store has fizzled.
Aw, bless their hearts.
Director Monica Cooley, please and thank you. She believes only time will tell because the group is now moving on to other issues that require its attention. You recall their last campaign was to boycott Ben & Jerry's over sweaty balls.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cream.
And look how that
that
how
also
that went.
Fizzled.
Yeah. Humorless People's Home Journal, they should call it.
I mean, they're really...
Well,
they're,
John, I made the point. If you don't like lesbians or sweaty balls, what do you like? What
exactly.
can we do for you? Seriously. Well,
how can we help you?
You're
in
no
woman's land. What they're really upset about is that a lesbian celebrity, having a lesbian celebrity has become such a mundane reality, one can do a JCPenney's ad. That's what they're upset about. The mainstream acceptance of our gay and lesbian brothers.
And those ads are actually really funny.
Yeah,
they're really well
cute.
Done.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The group's boycott of Toys R Us has also failed miserably. The The Archie Comics issue they objected to because of its same-sex wedding sold out.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Million moms just having a rough week.
I
Why
really
are they about Toys R Us? Jeffrey and Gigi raised baby G in total wedlock.
I really doubt there are a million moms.
No, there's probably 27 moms.
Less than that. There's a couple of moms in their mom's basement.
Three or four very concerned, very uptight moms.
Yeah.
Concerned troll is very concerned.
Concerned troll is very concerned.
With snap-tight sphincters.
Yes, exactly. Yes. What? 46
what?
Minutes.
What?
We won't do that on TV.
Oh, oh.
All right, 46
you want
minutes.
Me to ixnay on the sphincter, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't say it again. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Current TV in here filming really like literally like a foot to my right.
Yeah.
Filming my right cheek. That's not at all awkward. Don't worry. Okay. I was just doing some wacky stuff, John, where I had arugula on my teeth.
Arugula? What a snob.
Well, because it's a liberal show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just sipping my latte, eating my arugula.
In your current TV mug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I actually, I did it as a joke, and then I actually did have stuff on my teeth.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah, clear that off.
Take that off. Okay. This is for promos, don't.
It's not funny anymore.
No. Stop it.
Stop.
Stop it. What are you, eight? Tony,
you're going to blow Bill Press's whole lead in with that arugula.
We're going to shoot a Chuck E. Cheese pizza after this.
Yeah.
Tony in Chicago. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, Chicago Tony was at the show. Really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank
I wanted
you.
To give a shout out to Chris because watching Newsstream, whenever you wanted some music to back you out, you would wave your hand at the band. And they would look at you like, what the heck is going on? And it was just so funny watching Newsstream to see you do that.
Oh, I see.
Because you always do that to Chris.
Yes, oh, I do. Oh, I do make gestures to Chris, indicating that he is, in fact, number one.
Uh-huh.
Thank
All right.
you. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Tony.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. I don't really know what that was about. Okay. Let's go to Melissa in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Stephanie Mooks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just calling because this whole Blunt Amendment and all of this is really a way for the Republican Party to institutionalize the misogyny that Rush Limbaugh has been pushing since he published his first newsletter. It's about giving us equal compensation. Our insurance is part of our compensation, and it's just a way to kind of push back against Lilly Ledbetter. And for them to say that they don't hate women is simply, I don't think it's not true anymore. You can't push it off as just a one-off thing. This has been their plan.
Well, that's what I was, Melissa. That's it.
Feminazi slut.
They don't hate women who behave, madam.
Yeah. Yeah, Melissa. That's
the part is that they really do love their sluts.
I mean, let's be honest.
Men love us, and so. You know, why do we have to carry that as a badge of shame anymore? I say maybe take away the power, start to embrace it.
By the way, Melissa, I love how they said, well, look at what you guys said, but they're failing. It's like, and you know what? It's the same thing. They didn't think she was qualified to be vice president either. She was like wank material. I'm sorry.
Stephanie!
Come on!
And you didn't like it for yourself!
Just saying. All right, Melissa.
You can't say that on TV.
No, she's not. She's not. But she was. That's a vicious lie. We have sluts for that. She was not wank material.
Slut.
Thank you.
She's a slut. Look at her.
Well, how many conservative guys wrote things that were like softcore porn about her?
Yeah, exactly. They were.
Oh,
yeah, it was
there
like
was Sarah Palin fan fiction. Most
yeah, but can
definitely.
We also bring up something very important? No one in the media has talked about that. Rush Limbaugh has confused slut with skank. Slut
yes.
is a skank with self-esteem, okay?
Thank you.
Sluts
Thank
are some of the finest people I know.
Thank you.
The proper term for male slut, by the way, is male, and sluts are some of the most fine Americans I've ever met. Skanks are sluts with no self-respect.
Thank you.
Everywhere
Thank
I go.
For that clarification.
That's about slut pride, and you know
no,
what
but,
I'm talking
you know,
about.
Melissa makes a good point. You know, that's the thing. Not only was this not a one-time slip of the tongue that he apologized for, it was a sustained attack, and it also, he is the face of the Republican Party in that these are their policies, as she's pointed
You're
out,
right.
state after state. It's not like it's you know, and by the way, the whole war on women, he made a slutty joke about that. When exactly do we pull out the war on women?
And that's the other big difference. Bill Maher doesn't have a 20-year record of opposing feminist politics, and Bill Maher doesn't control an entire political party that's afraid to criticize him.
Yeah. Exactly. By the way, no one in the Democratic Party barely even comes on this show, let alone listens to anything I say.
Exactly. It's
because
all lies.
Because I say things like wank. See? So that's but this the is difference.
Why when
they have
Republican...
the good sense not to listen to me.
And there goes Austin Goolsbee as a potential. Thank you, Stephanie.
When your right-wing friends try and pull this Bill Maher equivalency rap on you, reject it. Don't let them change the subject. This is about what Limbaugh said. They're doing that because they know they can't defend what Limbaugh said. And keep it on the real point that Limbaugh was lying about birth control coverage. That's the real story, not Bill Maher said you can't ding.
Yeah, now he's lying. He said yesterday, nobody's losing money here, including us. And all the advertisers are not canceling business on our stage.
Yeah, you know.
Sack of crap. Yeah. You're a lying sack of crap.
Then what's the
You're
dead air about?
Yeah.
Stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
Well, the dead air, that could have been a local station
sure.
problem.
Sure.
Yes.
It was a local station problem. They couldn't sell ad time.
Well,
yeah.
Well yes. any station of that magnitude is going to put on a PSA instead of dead air. So I'm not
80% of their commercial time.
No radio station on earth runs dead air on purpose.
Oh, by the way, I love this. Did you see what he tried to do? RushLimbaugh.com removes offensive attacks from the transcript. Oh, that's very clever.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wished it away into the cornfield.
Yeah, he smeared her at least 70 times. The Atlantic Wire points out his website has scrubbed a few offensive comments. His site removed his sex tapes comment that we'd like to watch from March 1st. The pages were clearly working a few days ago. Several sites linked to them. You can't get away with that in this day and age. No. Chris and I, we were, you know, hearkening back, John, to the time in radio when you could go, oh, no, we don't have any recordings of that. It happened and then it was just gone.
Out
radio.
In the ether.
We don't. But there weren't. There was no transcripts. Right. There was no podcast. There was no... You can't get away with anything these days.
Oh, don't we know it.
We would go, oh, I'm sorry. Those big tapes, they malfunctioned that day, and there's no record of that.
The tape just snapped. And now we have to say hi to Newsbusters every day.
Hello, Newsbusters.
Oh,
Sue
they went after me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sue in Rockville, Maryland. Hello, Sue.
Hey, good morning. One thing before I tell you why I called. It is the Blunt-Rubio Amendment.
That's
Everyone
right.
needs
Thank
to
you.
Know Marco Rubio was the co-sponsor because they're going to put him up for VP. Mm-hmm. And we, all of us women and all the men who love women, which is all of you there, so just remember that. Okay. Listen, I am very confused. I need your help.
Okay.
Okay? I don't know which right-wing moron I'm supposed to listen to. Because El Gasbag says that you're a slut if you need contraception and you want to have sex, but for some Someone like me who's past menopause, does that mean I can have all the sex that I want and
yes.
I'm not a slut anymore?
Yes, you can slut away.
I can slut away.
You can slut away with your dusty eggs.
Yes, you're encouraged to.
Oh, they're all gone. Everything's gone. I'm seeing his whistle.
Oh, my God.
Trust me, I know. I got tumbleweeds.
Three kids, grandkids. I have reproduced my family. listen, but Frosty says I can only have sex procreation. So since I can no longer get pregnant, I mean, does that mean I can never have sex again?
Yes. Obey them both and be confused like your right-wing brethren.
Yeah, I don't. That's way too much sex advice. I wouldn't be the person to go to for sex advice. All right.
No.
That Obama college video. Wow, was that a bombshell?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Wow. Sorry, I voted for him now.
Oof.
Yeah.
Too bad there's not a video of him with a witch hunter.
Come back with that next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Fridays with John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau all 3 hours. Sexy Liberal himself. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. In fact, Maria in Chicago is at Sexy Liberal. Hi, Maria.
Good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
Hello,
good morning.
Hey.
I got to see you all on Saturday. It was so fantastic. It was the first time I'd seen John do his song, which I have no idea how such a white boy was able to rock the blues so well. So,
right.
Nice job on that. And
occasionally I sing in public.
so wonderfully. And Mama, you were on fire.
Thank you.
You were just fantastic. We were laughing our tuckuses off.
Aw, thank you very much.
You've seen the show before, right?
I have indeed. Yes, you can call me a bit of a Steph head. In fact, I want a T-shirt that says something to that effect.
Do we have? I think we're getting Steph head T-shirts.
We're working. I haven't seen them yet.
I don't know. All right, Maria, thank you, honey. Appreciate
it. Love you guys.
All right, love you. Yeah, that John Fugel thing in person. It's just.
Oh, stop it.
And then in Chicago, the theater's so big, we're up on giant video screens.
Really?
Behind ourselves.
Yeah, that's my Chairman Mao thing. It's really wild.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm waiting for a video to show up. I know that there was like video of the last time we played Chicago, but we didn't actually film the show, so you don't actually have to worry about my voice getting out too much. But, you know, the band was great. We had about 5 minutes of rehearsal before the show started, and they were just on it. And what a great crowd.
You're going to sing it in L.A. in July? I'll bring my
If I get a band together, I will. I actually have an albino metal band that wants to.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. But, awesome. Yeah. Speaking of L.A., Pantages, baby.
This is a special call out to all you L.A. progressors out there. A short distance dedication. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming back to Hollywood, California.
Holy Hollywood.
L.A., show me love up in the club.
On Saturday, July 28th, the world-famous Pantages Theater will host our generation's greatest comedy trio with John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and featuring radio and television star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are currently available online at Ticketmaster.com, at the Pantages Theater box office, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. A portion of the evening's proceeds will be donated to the Trevor Project. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, July 28th at the Pantages Theater. The countdown to the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour's Los Angeles return starts now.
Yahoo!
And now back to the countdown.
Yeah, tickets going now. A story about a bear.
Story about a dog.
I use the same voice when I explain there's nothing wrong with what I'm pouring in your drink.
Yeah. I want another damn dog dedication.
Mary Beth in Connecticut writes, Steph, by the way, when David Bender filled in for you last week, he was totally messing with your box. I didn't think he'd have any interest in messing with your box, nor would you have given permission to mess with your box, but he was totally messing with your box. That David Bender in my sound effects box. Why, you scamp. Mary Beth also says, by the way, I don't know if anyone has come to your defense on this, but you are correct as usual. The Paul Newman movie you're thinking of, where he asks about getting his reputation back, is Absence of Malice.
Mm-hmm.
Because, John, I was using a reference about Andrew Breitbart, about the Shirley Sherrod and others. It's like, who do I see about getting my reputation back, my career back?
I was glad that people asked about that in the Q&A at the show the other night, and we got to have a real, you know, good talk about Breitbart. I mean, Bender and I had a very heavy talk about Breitbart the other day on the air, which some people liked and some people didn't like the tone of it. But, you know, I think it's great to talk about, and I'm proud to see that liberals are treating Andrew Breitbart better in death than he treated them in life.
Yeah.
Where he treated Ted Kennedy when he died.
Yeah, well, I mean, the great, you know, and I'm sorry that he died. I think that there was I think he had humanity in him. I think if he'd lived longer, he might have pulled a David Brock and done something positive for the world. But I am most sorry he won't be around to see Barack Obama be reelected.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if, boy, this, and I John, you know, I met him in person. I found him charming.
He was fun to spar with on Twitter, too.
He was a smart guy. Well, I didn't have as much fun on Twitter as you did, Chris, because I find that he was with the kind of guy who would just send his jackals after you once you fought back.
Well, yeah. But those jackals were fun to spar with, too, because I always won.
Yeah, me too. So, they hate the facts and the morality. That's right. That's one thing.
So is it, because I know we shouldn't speak ill of the dead, is it bad to speak ill of his latest bombshell video? Because he can't defend how sucky it is?
No, there's nothing there.
There's nothing bad to say about it.
Berkeley is right next to Oakland, and there's no there.
I love Soledad O'Brien. She's like, is that it? What part of that was the bombshell? Because I missed it.
Yeah.
First of all, it already aired on Frontline. What?
Yeah, it's been on NPR's or PBS's website for a few years now.
But you missed the part where the African witch hunter laid his hands on Obama's head. Right. Oh, no, that was Sarah Palin. Right.
Oops.
That video that wasn't vetted.
Yeah, Andrew Breitbart promised a video of Barack Obama's college days at Harvard. First of all, doesn't this prove he actually was at Harvard? I thought we didn't know anything about him. it was released in full on Sean Hannity's show on Wednesday night. As PBS's Andrew Golis noted, there's nothing new about the clip or Obama's role in the controversy at Harvard Law School. No. In 2008, as part of our election special choice of 2008, Frontline ran the same footage of the speech as part of an exploration of Obama's time at Harvard Law School.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I felt the same as Soledad O'Brien. I'm like, what is that? Okay.
That's it? Really?
Yeah, so John McCain embracing John Hagee is fine, but this is somehow incriminating? I mean, it's a smear fail is what it is.
Yeah, the bombshell. Okay, so what's his name that went on the CNN with Soledad O'Brien? She said the bombshell is the revelation of the relationship between Obama and Derrick Bell. Derrick Bell passed away last year, but during his lifetime, he developed a theory called critical race theory, which holds the civil rights movement was a sham, and white supremacy is the order, and it must be overthrown.
Which Obama never subscribed to, by the way, when running Harvard Law Review.
Total, and Soledad O'Brien's like, no, that's not what critical race theory is.
His whole premise was wrong.
Yeah, he was the first tenured professor. It's tape of Obama introducing him, and you're going, that's it?
The first black tenured professor at Harvard.
Yeah. On CNN, Pollack promised more footage and more bombshells from Breitbart's archives. Yikes.
Wow. Even more scandalous.
This is the beginning of a vetting process that begins with Andrew Breitbart's probe into Barack Obama's time in Chicago and will continue. We've been warned. What they were trying to say the controversy is? Oh, they cut out the part where he hugged him. So that's...
No, that was in there.
Yeah,
I saw it.
Dana
Loesch was on CNN yesterday screeching that this was the biggest scoop in big government's history or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so the whole thing was based on their false premise of what the professor was talking about. Something he never actually said.
Right.
Okay. Exactly. But it's only a scandal because they haven't had a chance yet to re-edit the video to show Barack Obama burning a flag and a constitution.
And dressed as a pimp, you know.
What's happening in the video? Obama speaks in support of Bell, who had stopped teaching and gone on a hunger strike to protest the lack of minorities on the law school faculty. Obama was, of course, the first black editor of the Harvard Law Review. So the video clips are widely regarded to lack the explosive content that Breitbart had promised.
Are you saying that this is a video of a Harvard law student saying nice things about one of their professors?
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Introducing him.
Not cool.
Mm.
And the professor who said that racism existed in America.
Breitbart.com's Breitbart.com's staff, which was scooped on the videos by BuzzFeed, accused the site's editors of selectively editing the clips and released a slightly longer version in which Bell and Obama are shown embracing.
Whoa! You can't do that!
They selectively cut the hug out of the original.
Oh, God. There you go. There's your smoking gun right there.
What I got from that was how brilliant he was even then.
Exactly. You go, that's him. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same guy. He sounds exactly the same.
A little younger, really smart, really eloquent, funny.
Yeah.
The hair was a little bigger.
Yeah.
Still wearing the pleated khakis. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, one of the right-wing blogs wrote, it's the pattern of siding with radical or hardline positions while positioning himself as a conciliatory figure persists. He's the smiley face masking extreme aims.
Wouldn't we have seen some of the extreme aims by now?
You would think.
We've seen the extreme aims. They just added 227,000 jobs to the economy this month.
Bastard.
He hates business. Hates business.
Hmm. Crooks and Liars wrote, before Andrew Breitbart's death, he was promising earth-shattering video that would destroy President Obama. This is apparently that video.
Wow.
They needed a new Jeremiah Wright and figured Bell, being dead and all, might be just the person to fill the void.
But he agreed with some of the things Jeremiah Wright said, like and, but, and if.
And or.
Yeah. And the.
Yes.
Everything in conjunction junction.
Yes. Exactly. All right, let's go to Wanda in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Wanda.
Good morning, Mama.
Come on in.
I was at the show on Saturday, had a fabulous time.
Thank you.
My husband was a little confused because he doesn't listen to the political rants like I do, except for mine, and sometimes he doesn't listen to those.
Yes.
But he actually said, who's John Huntsman? And I had to tell him, I'd tell him in the car.
Happy guy. Happy guy.
Yeah. Blissfully ignorant.
Yes, yes, yes. But John, you were amazing. I just loved
it.
And he doesn't love a little girl on girl, so that was fabulous.
But after
the show, downstairs in the bathroom, you know, the line is really long because nobody left during the show. Twitter comment comes out that, you know, Mittens had won somewhere, some caucus thing. So the whole conversation of how does the caucus work? Do they even know what they're doing? What's the Electoral College? How do you explain this to your kids? That's what goes on after your show.
Wow.
bunch of political geeks in the bathroom. Yeah, well, here's how the caucus works, you guys.
Yeah, something tells me that doesn't happen after an NSYNC concert.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Exactly. All right, Wanda. Thank you, honey. Let's go to Lori in Chicago. Hi, Lori.
Good morning.
Hi.
First of all, I want to proclaim I am a WCPT progressive listener.
Hi.
However, just out of curiosity, the last 2 days, I tuned into the big 50,000-watt AM station here in Chicago, which you being a Chicago veteran, Stephanie, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
they air Rush. Observations for both days, well, especially yesterday, because I really listened carefully. Three paid ads. Two of them were from local financial advisors. Airtime is being filled with the morning and afternoon Chicago, their morning, afternoon, morning and afternoon drive time hosts promoting their shows.
Right.
Probably for 60 to 90 seconds.
Promos, yeah.
Yeah, promos. And then they also have promos for Mark Levin and Sean Hannity who are on tape delay on that station. And then public service announcements. So for 1 hour on what I'm assuming is probably the third largest radio market in Chicago, three paid ads and the rest promos and PSAs.
You know, that hurts the bottom line. Absolutely.
You guys are the radio experts. I'm not, but yeah.
And Lori, ironically, if he still has financial advisors aboard, you think that one of them could have advised him that he's going to lose a lot of money by saying stupid ass things on the air.
But also, this is Chicago, so those the morning drive and the afternoon drive time hosts, you know, their salaries are published. They make upwards probably close to $1 million a year. A major radio station like that, how can they afford 3 hours of that? And then also one other thing, about 15 to 20 seconds of dead air time as well.
Yep, I hear you. All right, thank you, Lori. Appreciate it. I love that. Or in his in the way he puts it, just a couple of French fries.
Yeah,
that's all. Why does he seems like he's speaking from experience? Why do I think that is a big deal? He probably crawls around in the back seat looking for the French fries.
Yeah. The next morning when he's hungry.
Hold on, pull over, honey. Just a couple of French fries got away.
9 million pounds of pink slime.
And he probably just takes the hair and the juju bead off it. Just, it's all right. It's fine. All right.
No.
18 minutes after the hour.
The stray penny.
There's a penny on it. Yeah. He doesn't care. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with People Slang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. 24 minutes after the hour, Fridays with John Fugelsang,
1-800-STEPH-12,
the phone number. Kathleen in Illinois. Hey, Kathleen.
Good morning. You know, I think it's with the frequency in which these media moguls or whatever have been bashing women, why doesn't this young lady just sue him for slander?
I'm sure that's
coming.
Yeah, I've heard that that posited by legal professionals. So we'll see. Wow, John, are you overwhelmed in the wave of Mittmentum since we've last
Yeah, it's incredible, this Mittmentum. I'm going to go out and buy myself a pair of loafers without tassels.
Yeah, the Politico headline is, this is how inspirational it's gotten. Romney fights back with math. He's become Rain Man, essentially.
Wow.
His speech is just,
to make more than 70% of your party not hate you.
Counted the delegates, and I'm, Romney senior aide argued Romney holds a commanding lead in the state-by-state delegate math. Oh, math is, that's something that will uplift the electorate. The senior aides delivered a clinical state-by-state dissertation on the impossibility of either Santorum or Gingrich reaching the 1,144 delegate threshold. Romney, they said, needs to win only 48%. Yeah, definitely. Wapner. Santorum would have to carry 65% of what's left, and Gingrich 70%. Definitely.
Uh-oh.
He's definitely the nominee. Definitely. This is what it's come to. And primary turnout. We've been talking about this, but wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
more people showed up to vote for the incumbent who's running unopposed than showed up to vote for the Republicans.
That's right.
It was down in the early GOP primary, suggesting a lack of enthusiasm, you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
A new report out shows the trend continued in the Super Tuesday votes, turnout down from both 2008 and 2000. A new Rasmussen poll shows a plurality of voters have a less confidence in the Republican hopefuls today than they did a month ago. The longer this goes, the worse it gets. An astonishing 43% of Republicans say they still want a new candidate to enter the race.
Wow. Yeah, good luck with that.
They've earned it.
Exactly.
Do they really want Sarah Palin in?
No, liberals do.
She says anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
Not after Game Changers this weekend.
Game Change is only going to help her because ignorant people who think that she's not a moron aren't going to watch Game Change. And Game Change also goes really, 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 really bend over backwards easy on her and McCain compared to the book. Hmm. So the Game Change, HBO doesn't want to lose subscribers over this. They made sure the movie was very, very disproportionately fair to Sarah Palin. But the thing liberals have to beware is we like to talk about what a ride it would be to see a convention where they have to pick a new nominee. That's the worst thing in the world, my friends, because what you don't want is in August is for the right wing to pick a brand new, fresh face no one's not sick of and have a great wave of enthusiasm coming forward for the fall. So I say commit to Mittens now.
Yeah, commit. Commit, you slutty Republicans, for God's
and
sakes.
And please, Newt, drop out so Santorum can get the nomination. Please.
Yeah, Cindy McCain says she will not see the movie. John McCain said he wouldn't either. Don't you love that they've already decided it's unfair? Even
he's going to wait for Ed Harris to play him in another movie? Come on.
Ed Harris looks great.
The clips look amazing.
The fair treatment he's ever going to get.
Yeah. No, obviously they're all defensive because he's the one that picked her in an incredibly unwise decision to put someone like that at a heart.
Well, Steve Schmidt picked her. John McCain approved it, but Steve Schmidt picked her.
And to this day, John McCain has a Steve Schmidt voodoo doll he bites and puts pins in. And
I don't think they're friendly anymore.
No. Really? Do you think?
A little bit.
Awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to talk about Obama not vetted because of his video with Professor Bell. Let's talk about a woman who has an African witch hunter laying his hands on her in a church in Alaska. Not vetting.
Yeah. Thank you. I know. Well, that's what my favorite scene is. You didn't ask her any questions about policy.
Yeah.
What?
I can't wait to see that this weekend.
Oh, God, I would have given anything to be a fly on the wall in that actual conversation, John, with the, well, I would just call the Queen of England and tell her to get with the program on Iraq. What do you mean she's not the head of...
She doesn't make those decisions.
They have a prime minister.
Brilliant. You know what? I take it back. I take it back. Make her your nominee in the fall. Do it.
Please.
let's really ignite Obama's base. Make Palin the nominee.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back. Oh, with Ron Barber running for Gabrielle Giffords' old seat in the Tucson area. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's just, she was perfect. I used to dream about what it would be like to be her.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah, living the dream. It is the Stephanie Miller
getting
show.
Up at 3:30 in the morning?
That dream?
Oh, I got totally busted last night. My friend called at 6:15. I was already in bed.
Oh.
It's like, I'm just doing show prep. I'm not really sleeping yet. I'll call you tomorrow. All right.
Great.
Well, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, 34 minutes after the hour. We're very excited. Ron Barber was the former district director for Representative Gabrielle Giffords. He is now running for her seat, and he joins us now. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. So good to be with you.
So good to have you on. First of all, I have to ask, I don't know if people realize you were wounded in the attack. How are you doing? And how are you?
I'm doing really well. I wouldn't be running for office if I didn't think I could do this. And it took a while to recover. It took me, you know, a better part of a year, but I'm fit and ready to do this. And every day I get more pumped up by the support we're getting from across the political spectrum. We've had volunteers coming in, stuffing envelopes, walking. We submitted 7,100 signatures when we only needed 670. So we're off to a great start, and I get a lot of energy from the folks who are coming to help us. So I'm really in good shape, but it took a while.
You know, Ron, I have to tell you, we came and did the Sexy Liberal Show in Tucson a while back, and I have to tell you, just the feeling, the people, just the feeling for Gabrielle Giffords there, even obviously before this happened, overwhelming. I know your kickoff event, she showed up as a surprise, right?
She did. It was a surprise, and obviously everyone was very excited to see her. She hasn't made a lot of public appearances here in Tucson. This was really, I think, her third, but the first really in a close-in public environment. So people were excited to see her. I was excited to see her, obviously, to have her supporting our campaign. And she's been a real inspiration to our community and I think to the whole country.
Well, I don't think you're human if you could have watched that scene on the House floor on her last day, you know, or when she came to the State of the Union and not cry and not have cried for, you know, just the courage that she's displayed.
She's very courageous and very determined. You know, having worked with her since 2006 when I volunteered for her campaign, her first campaign for Congress, I've just seen that she's a woman of great determination. Anytime she sets a goal, she not only gets to it but exceeds it. She set high standards for all of us, and she set them for herself. So she's really a remarkable person. And, you know, here we go. Now I'm going to move on and win that seat and represent the people of Southern Arizona in a way that I think would be appropriate for them and continue some of the work that the congressman has done.
Ron, obviously people want to know, you know, ask all the time, how is she doing? I know that, you know, her recovery is continuing, but how would you say she's doing today?
Well, I think she's doing really well. You know, one of the things that people who don't get to see her, meet her in person and talk with her probably don't know is how completely back her cognition is. She's fully aware of everything you say to her. She answers and responds appropriately. She's beginning to walk. Obviously, she's walking a lot better than she ever did with a brace. And her speech is coming back. You know, that's the biggest challenge, is getting the aphasia under control. But you can know when you talk with her that she is there, totally there, and is very funny and very deliberate in her responses.
Ron, you know, you have to talk, and then we'll, you know, move on to your whole campaign. But how did that day change your life? I can only imagine. I don't know if you know, my dad was a congressman, and I remember crying on the air the day after this happened, because I can only imagine my mother coming home and saying, my dad was shot in the face doing a constituent meeting.
Like he would do,
and any congressperson does. How did that day, I mean, you obviously can never be the same, right?
I think that's true. I mean, certainly in my case, you know, I feel like I've been given this wonderful second chance at life, and that's one of the reasons I'm running for Congress. I want to make the most of it. I've served my community all my life as a small businessman and working with people with developmental disabilities and working for the congresswoman. If anything, that day has changed my life for the better. I know that may sound odd, but let me tell you why. You know, immediately after the shooting, while we were laying there wounded, people came and rushed to our help, to our assistance. And these were just ordinary citizens coming out of the supermarket, coming out of the parking lot. They didn't know that there wasn't another gunman. They were so courageous to come in. And one of them saved my life right there on the ground. So I'm very grateful for that. But then the outpouring of compassion and goodwill, the prayers, just the kindness that came from our community and still is coming, is a real inspiration to me. I want to serve this community because it is a great community, and I think we can take that positive energy that came out of the shooting, after the shooting, which really defined who we were, and maybe change the tone of political campaigns. I'm determined we're going to have a civil and respectful campaign. And let me just comment, because I know your dad was very close and ran with Senator Goldwater. Let me just share a story that I think illustrates what we can do if we want to. Back when Senator Goldwater was United States Senator from Arizona, Morris Udall was the congressman from this area. Yep. They differed dramatically on politics, but they found a way to come together for the good of their country and for the good of their state, and never once did they disrespect each other in public or private. And I think it was Barry Goldwater who famously said, we can disagree without being disagreeable.
Yep.
That's the tone of this community, and that's what I want to carry on the way through this campaign and into Congress.
Yeah, you know what, Ron, we were just in Phoenix, and I have to say, I have seen that in Arizona, and it's the point that I've made over and over again, is this is not my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. And you make the point absolutely correctly. I just can't even imagine what they would think of the tone of politics, including this latest Rush Limbaugh thing, you know, particularly for someone that clearly is, you know, the titular head of the Republican Party.
Sure. You know, name-calling, demonizing, vitriol that we saw in the 2010 campaign and the remarks that Rush Limbaugh made are absolutely unacceptable. And I think people are tired of it. I think they want something that's different and refreshing. Maybe a throwback. People say, Ron, you're so naive about this idea of how you can change the tone of a contact sport like politics. But I remind them of those days when not only Barry Goldwater and Mo Udall collaborated, but John Rhodes, who was the Speaker of the House and a Republican, they found a way to come together. Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill found a way to work together. It can be done. And I think yesterday we saw at least the first, maybe great step towards bipartisanship in the House. We need more of that.
Yeah. Ron, what are the specific issues you're running on?
Well, there are issues that are really important to our district. You know, first of all, we have a large population of seniors here in the southern part, and well, really all of Arizona. I'm really concerned about attempts to diminish their availability of Social Security and Medicare. Ideas about privatizing it just don't wear with me at all, and I'm going to oppose anything that approaches that. We have to protect the money that people put in all of their lives into Medicare, into Social Security, so that when they're in their retirement years, they can be assured of the medical services they need and a reasonable income. So that's one issue for me that's huge. Another is veterans' concerns. We have almost 100,000 veterans here in Pima County. The young veterans that are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan have signature injuries such as TBI and post-traumatic stress disorder. They are not being diagnosed. They are not being treated. 18 veterans a day in this country commit suicide, and that's just a terrible idea, terrible statistic, and we need to change it. Veterans also have the highest unemployment rate of any group. They have 13% unemployment. So I want to work, as we have over the last 5 years, to help veterans become employed and get the treatment they deserve. And also, you know, we have an issue of border security. This is the corridor through which the drug cartels ship about 50% of the drugs that they bring into this country. They have brought violence to the border. They've certainly brought it to Mexico. 45,000 people have been killed there. 2.5 years ago, a rancher was killed on his property just north of the border. I talk to ranchers all the time. I've been down there on the border. I know that they need to feel safe in their homes and on their ranches. We also need a reasonable path towards immigration reform. I think most people in this country believe we have to do both border security and reform the immigration system. Those are some of the issues that are really important to me. And the last one I would say, no, it's not the only last one because there are many others, but the most important last one is solar energy. You know, it's a no-brainer in Arizona that we should have solar energy.
Yeah, I was just there. The sun seems to be there a great deal.
Yeah,
yeah, it's about over 325 days a year.
Yeah.
You expect the sun to come out. And, you know, with Congresswoman Gifford's work on solar, which I intend to continue, you know, we have now become the third leading state in Arizona, in the country, I should say, to have solar jobs. Mm. And this leads me to an issue that is of concern to everybody, and that is how do we get jobs, people back on the job? You know, what the House did yesterday, and I hope the Senate will follow suit, is to begin to cut some slack to small businesses. I was a small businessman with my wife for 22 years. We know what it's like to be in a payroll and keep the doors open. And small businesses are really struggling, and they are 70% of our economy. We have to get more people into jobs. Small businesses are the way to do that, and I believe we need to do a lot more to help them. And in Arizona, we have an opportunity to increase hiring in bioscience and high-tech and solar, of course. We've got a lot of work to do, but I think we can do it. The optimism that I feel in our community is strong. And, of course, a lot of...
Yeah, and for you, and by the way, for you to say that with what you've been through is I think, means a lot. We need a lot more positive stories. And I have to say, I wish you well, because I for a state that's become famous for the governor sticking her bony finger in the president's face, I would like you to become famous for something else.
Yes.
We're moving in that direction, and that's what this election is about for me, is to show a face of Arizona that's positive,
that's
optimistic, and full of goodwill.
Please give Gabrielle Giffords our love on behalf of all our listeners, and we wish you so much luck, Ron. Thanks, and we will check in with you again.
Thank you for that. I appreciate the time with you.
Tonight. All right. Thank you, Ron. Ron Barber, there he goes.
There he goes.
Yeah, Phoenix, what a man, what a man.
Phoenix practically glows in the dark at night because the buildings keep radiating heat.
Well,
Phoenix could just be one big solar cell. Yeah.
That's why they can close the whole town down at 9 o'clock.
And that's why it gets down to a low of about 92 at night there.
Yeah. I know, but with the wind chill, it feels like 80.
Yeah, somebody from Right Wing World, John, a while back, was talking about solar energy being unreliable. Like, yeah, because the sun.
Yeah, the sun, yeah.
It's notoriously unreliable.
It could go out at any moment.
Yeah.
You know, that sun is in Cylinder's pocket, and it could go bankrupt any time.
they're mad every day it comes up. No, it's there again.
The sun has a liberal bias.
Scoffing at us.
Damn you, Cylindra!
45 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's bad advice in radio, actually.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, so Current is shooting right now as we speak for promos for the new television version of the Stephanie Miller Radio Show.
Very nice.
Yes. And they're just like, here, pretend you're dancing again. Put makeup on. Do this. Seem authentic.
Do radio stuff.
Yeah. Oh, they asked for actually an on-air sign. What is this, a movie about radio in the 1940s? We don't have any flashing on-air.
It looks very glamorous on your Ustream from here in the New York Bureau Boo Radley room.
Oh, yes.
Does it?
Thank you, some people saying.
Yeah, we told them, make sure you get the VU meters and the flashing phone calls.
Let's see what people in Radio Lab think.
I'm trying to catch cockroaches for lunch here like Papillon, and you guys have lights on you. It's beautiful.
See, this is the public service that televising the show on Current will do, is nobody has to come in here and do any of those stupid television stories about what people are saying on the radio.
Right.
Well, you got a Boo Radley and a Papillon reference in one sentence.
That's wow.
Thank you. Kendall in L.A. Hey, Kendall.
Hey, good morning, Steph and the Mooks. I've been a little bit, it's been interesting to me to see the reaction from a lot of people on the left to the whole notion of a boycott against Limbaugh's sponsors, particularly since, you know, boycotts have been one of the most effective civil rights strategies for decades, and particularly it's one of the few weapons that the 99% has to fight against the 1%. So I've just been a little bit kind of alarmed at the kind of...
There are sponsors, too.
Yeah. The problem is in radio, you know, companies buy ads on a variety of shows, and so a lot of Rush Limbaugh sponsors are my sponsors, too, so boycotting them also is going to hurt a lot of the progressive shows you
and
like,
hurt
too.
Hurt us more, because we're not making anywhere near the amount of money.
I hear that, but it seems as if the whole notion of boycotts is being disparaged. I mean, where people
It's worked.
Where people have opposed the, you know, bus boycotts in Montgomery, I mean, I'm just trying to...
My point is that I think it worked in this sense, though, in that, you know, people like our listeners did the right thing and contacted these companies like Carbonite and ProFlowers, and they, I think, did the right thing and dropped Rush. But to boycott the company, you know, I'm just saying it hurts us as well.
Well, I just see it as a very effective strategy for people who don't have any other recourse against some of these multinational corporations. I think boycotts are a very effective strategy.
Well, no,
it's also an effective strategy of getting people you agree with off the air as well.
That's the problem. Yeah,
it's
the problem.
Buckshot where a scalpel is required.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was saying, and it, you know, thus far, I think, you know, this is, I got to say, people are more savvy these days. I mean, a lot of our listeners have bought Carbonite and ProFlowers since this happened. Mm-hmm. Type Stephanie in the box and thank them.
Yes.
For what they did.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Money for nothing and your chicks for free.
Thank you, Jim. Exactly.
What? We get chicks for free?
Yeah, I mean, everyone listening, if you have a mixed mind about this, just write to the sponsors who, you know, stopped supporting Rush Limbaugh and thank them for supporting progressive radio.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing. Oh, look, Rush is in here already. Yeah. Again.
Okay. I know, folks. You're tired of Republican nominees that sound like dopes. You're tired of it.
Huh?
You probably take Karl Marx right now if you could put two sentences together that sounded impressive. We've got Karl Marx on the other side. That's my point. We've got Karl Marx. Karl Marx is in this debate. Karl Marx, Alinsky.
Yeah.
This cycle goes by the name of Barack Obama.
Yeah. Okay, Karl Marx just added 227,000 jobs to the economy last month, which is 1 million more than Bush in his last month. And I think by talking about dumb Republican nominees, he actually might have criticized Bush for the first time in his career.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I think the problem, John, is they're running against a caricature of Obama that they've created that is so far from the truth that it doesn't resonate.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, it's only casting them even more outside the mainstream. And it's like, you know, what are they going to do? They already hate America so much that they have to equate people who are just like them with America. So if you go against them, you go against America.
Yeah,
it's
here's
how
Sarah
fascists
Palin.
Always work.
Here's Sarah Palin to run the same place she ran last time, but at least she has a soothing voice.
Mm. Well, what we can glean from this is an understanding of why we are on the road that we are on. Again, it's based on what went into his thinking, being surrounded by radicals. He is bringing us back, Sean, today's that you can harken back to days before the Civil War when, unfortunately, too many Americans mistakenly believed that not all men were created equal.
What? Conservatives believed it.
Yes!
Conservatives. That was
people
when
That
was when
it.
The Republican Party were liberals back then.
Exactly.
And the Democratic Party were the conservatives back then.
Oh, my God.
Check out maybe, I don't know, the number of Confederate flags at your rallies. And
I've never actually read a book.
I'm confused.
It's amazing. These people are willing to slam slavery, but they'll never slam the Confederate flag.
Guys and gal.
Ah, galley. Okay, Bill O'Reilly on the Sandra Fluke controversy.
This woman, from the very beginning, was what they call run by very powerful people.
Oh, yeah,
it's not an accident that Elijah Cummings, Nancy Pelosi, all of these people got her and put her in a position to get national exposure.
Out.
Okay.
Yeah, plucked her out.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, and I can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, I think I will be able to, that this was run out of the White House.
No.
I can't prove the facts to back this up. But I'm going to put it out there anyway.
For more on
people who associate with radicals, let's go to G. Gordon Liddy.
Yeah. Wow. And Ted Nugent.
She's a pawn. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
But clearly she has no mind of her own. She's a chick.
Just saying.
She's
I'm
a
just
pawn.
Saying. Wow. They've basically taken the Herman Cain strategy on everything. I don't have the facts to back this up. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah. Some newscast you got there, Fox News. Mm.
Kimberly Guilfoyle on the 5.
Kim's inaction and abdication of leadership is causing these prices to go up. That's the problem. He knows exactly what he needs to do.
But let me just say, they are.
Ah. He's good because, as he said, of course he would want gas prices to go up.
Yeah, sure. Because that's the best thing in the world for an incumbent president.
Yeah. I didn't understand any of that. I think in our panel at the live show, we talk over each other less than the five.
John,
and that's you, me, and Hal on stage together.
Yeah.
John Bolton on Fox Business.
Yeah.
The fact is, over three American administrations, Clinton, Bush, and now Obama, we have failed utterly to stop the obvious effort by the regime in Tehran to get nuclear weapons. And right now, we're just at the end of this long, sad saga. Diplomacy has failed. Sanctions have failed. They're going to continue to fail. And the most likely outcome now is that Iran will get nuclear weapons. The only thing at this very, very late date that's going to stop that potentially is the preemptive use of military force.
We don't have enough wars.
Okay,
so
who said that?
John Bolton.
Okay, can we all get together and thank John Bolton for high gas prices? Can we thank every one of these trigger-happy D-bags on right-wing media who are calling for bombing Iran for the high gas prices? Because the high gas prices are blamed on the record profit-setting oil industry and the speculators, and the number one reason they give is instability in the Middle East.
And by the way,
because there might be war.
A former Mossad director just said, hey, okay, doofuses.
Yeah.
Shut up. You're only making it worse. They're going to get a bomb faster because they're afraid
that
one of you doofuses is going to get elected.
And that's why you have high gas prices, because these right-wing trigger-happy fools talking about bombing Iran, they're the ones to blame, not the president.
But John Bolton, it's like his one-hit wonder, isn't it? The whole, it's like the lipstick on a pit bull joke for Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
So, bomb Iran? Bomb Iran? Bomb. There bomb you go. Iran. There you go. There it is.
Bomb
there it is.
Yeah.
Of course,
good.
Let's remember, in 2009, for 5 minutes, when, you know, the fact is that in Iran, 60% of the population is, I believe, under age 30. Mm-hmm. And when they were having the pro-democracy protests, suddenly, the GOP was let freedom ring with our peace-loving Iranian allies. That's
and then
long forgotten. Yeah, let's bomb those civilian targets again.
Yeah.
All right, we will drink a nice steamy cup of frothy Santorum next.
Celebrity
Stack and much more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is because it's Friday. Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang, all 3 hours in the New York Bureau.
Holla.
Holla. By the way, let's see, Roland, the high-strung sexy liberal tour director, says, hurry! March 31st is next up in Albuquerque. Only 16 VIP tickets left. Some great front row mezzanine, but they are going fast. So hurry.
Yeah, he wasn't high-strung when this tour began.
No.
Yeah. No, he wasn't ice. He was a yoga meditation teacher when this tour began. And now he's ice.
And now you have to peel him off the ceiling
every
day.
By the way, John, did I tell you he's officially hanging out too much with me? When we were at Canyon Ranch, they told him he has osteoporosis.
Oh, God.
That probably sent him into a depression spiral.
And he ate dinner with me every night at 5:30.
Oh, boy.
And then you led him on the Bataan death march.
Yes. And then I broke his hip.
Uphill.
All right. Hmm? Oh, by the way, speaking of sexy liberalness, Mary Beth says, Steph, I often think you and I are twin daughters of different mothers because we're so much alike. I turned 50 this year in September, making you the older twin. In honor of this momentous occasion, I've decided to treat myself to meet and greet at Sexy Liberal Boston, Section B, Row 1.
Whoa.
Thanks for asking. Write that down, John. All right, we'll see you June. Boston, Wilbur Theater. Hello. All right, John, you often say this is one of the reasons for sexy liberal is for people that have been afraid to have an Obama bumper sticker on their car where they live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
be
doing
here.
This.
Yeah. Amy says, Staff, I really need to be the official Democrat stuck in Republican hell. Hmm. I live on the east side of Washington State, smack right next to the border of Idaho.
Wow.
Back in 2008, our local sheriff stopped by the house one night to have a chat with my husband about the Obama-Biden sign that was tacked up on the fence in front of our barn.
Oh,
when my husband advised him that his wife was the one who put it up, the sheriff kindly suggested that he ask me to take it down. My husband said, why don't you go tell her to take it down? I dare you.
Wow.
What a coward. What a coward.
Oi. Yeah, we were doing a story yesterday about, where is it, Chris? Blount County, Alabama.
Blount County, Alabama. Home of Ellie's this and that.
Yes, which we posited, John. There's a few racist this and that.
Yes, and it's a knick-knack store on Main Street in Blount County.
Mm-hmm.
Called Ellie's.
I'm not a racist. I just demand to see Obama's birth certificate, and it never occurred to me to ask a white politician for the same thing.
Yeah, that's actually the whole story. It's not that most of them said it's not that he's black. It's that he's not from here.
Yeah, I'm not a racist, but
I just hate bleep.
By the way, Jim, you and I were joking about that the whole story is about Romney facing skepticism in the South, which is the other headline today.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney faces a tough sell.
Do they make cowboy boots with tassels?
A tough sell in the deep South of Mississippi and Alabama primaries coming up next Tuesday. There's concern he's too slick, not really conservative, and a reason where the evangelical vote is important. Some are skeptical about he's a Mormon. He's not a Christian. Mm. It's God warrior territory is down there is the... Mississippi.
Not a Christian!
Oh, listen to this. Mississippi retiree David Wilkie, holding his nose, said, if push comes to shove and he gets the nomination, I'll go in the voting booth like this and vote for him.
And he held it. Oh, his nose.
Why? Go vote for a third-party candidate you believe in.
Yeah.
That's how Lincoln got the White House.
Yeah,
Lincoln
David Wilkie, Mississippi retiree.
38% of the vote, and Lincoln was a third-party candidate back when the Republicans were just starting out, when they were a liberal party.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Mitt Romney admitted as much in an interview on a Birmingham, Alabama station. He said, it's a bit of an away game for me. Which made him sound like even more of a rich douche that everyone hates.
I'm actually rooting for him. I feel so sorry for him at this point.
Campaigning in Mississippi, Romney said he's turning into an unofficial Southerner. Yeah. I'm learning to say y'all, and I like grits. Strange things are happening to me, he said jokingly. See, they have to put in there that it's a joke.
Yeah. It's like watching Pat Boone try to do metal. It's just so sad.
Exactly. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Blah, blah, blah. Things are not forgotten. Look away. Look away. Oh. Look. Nice to be here in Birmingham where all the trees are the right white. And here I thought Birmingham was in England. First of all, I'd like to apologize to y'all for that war of northern aggression. What were we thinking when we attacked Fort Sumter? Hey, who wants hush puppies? The only hush puppies I know about are the shoes, but I suppose anything tastes good if it's deep fried. Am I right?
Thank
you. I'm here all week.
The most awkward man in the world. Yeah. Oh, God, he's just... Oh, it's painful.
Really sad. It's really sad. Oh. You know, it's like watching Michael Jordan play baseball. It's just like, Michael Jordan was unlikable in the first place.
All right, some celebrity snack. Oh, dear. Kanye West has upset the royal family.
Oh, dear.
I just love this story. He was the subject of a number of complaints from unspecified members of the monarchy who were infuriated by the star playing his music too loudly in his $4,280 a night suite at London's Lanesborough Hotel, which is near Buckingham Palace.
Mm-hmm.
One of his friends said, we went to London, we were right next to Buckingham Palace and the royal family. There were members of the royal family staying below us.
Oh, dear.
The royal family below were complaining, like, we got all this loud-ass rap music above us and weed smoke. Guessing the Queen's not amused.
Good heavens! Zutelor and Odds Bodkins, we are not amused. Kanye West, if that is his real name, was banging out that in his suite at the Lanesborough Hotel, which, unfortunately, is located directly next to Buckingham Palace. One was so incensed, we felt the need to go up to Mr. West's room and complain in the strongest possible terms. To go, as it were, all Taylor Swift on his arse. But as it happens, all the loud arts rap music and weed smoke caused us to lose our inhibitions, and we were indeed powerfully amused up in here.
The Beatles had the same experience 50 years ago.
Yeah.
All right.
With the same queen.
Yes.
Yeah. With the same. Yeah, well, they were, as they called it, having a laugh in the men's room at Buckingham Palace.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they got
Is that what the kids are calling
having
it?
A laugh. That's what the Fabs called it. Mm. McCartney still calls it that.
Here's another celebrity edition of That's So Random. Antonio Banderas mobbed and robbed in Budapest. He was at the airport in Budapest, swamped by dozens of local girls trying to make his way through the airport. Upon entering his car, he realized his wallet had been snatched. If only Zorro were available, or even that little cat in the city.
Puss in Boots?
Yes.
Yeah.
Neither Puss nor Boots was available to save him.
Or the Nasonex bee.
Yes, they took away my Nasonex. Yeah. And now I'm only stuffed up from all that goulash.
Well, maybe they paid to see Evita and they were mad.
Well, there you go. There is that.
Actually, Antonio Banderas gave one of the best performances of last year in that Almodóvar movie, The Skin I Live In. Ooh, you want to be creeped out, see that movie.
Okay.
He's it.
All right. Done. George Takei.
He needs the money now, too.
George Takei, our buddy, our friend, he said, I did not live long and prosper there on Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, he was fired.
He's funny. Wow. He added that
What a shock. A gay man who's married gets fired by a guy who hates gay marriage.
Mm-hmm. Takei added that Clay Aiken, the youngest member of the team, who described Takei as slower during the task, was a little catty.
There's
really?
A shock.
Exactly.
I would never have pegged Clay Aiken to be catty.
What?
No. What? You're kidding.
No. I believe, do we have, I think we have, Trump and Takei.
I did not live long and prosper on Celebrity Apprentice. It was considerably less than a 5-year mission. So I decided to boldly go, okay, enough of the Star Trek references. How many ways can I say this? You're fired. I'm just a simple country doctor. That wasn't even your line. Quite simply, Captain, I examined the problem from all angles and it was plainly hopeless. Logic informed me that...
Okay, Spock, scram.
Don't make me use the Vulcan neck grip on you.
Don't make me drag you and put Clay Aiken in your bed. Oh, my.
No.
Drug you. Sorry, I couldn't read my writing.
I don't know what that meant. I'll catch that. All right.
Nice. My Takei just sounds like Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem.
Hi, Captain. Our top 20 countdown, photon torpedoes are locked and loaded.
And now, a story about a trouble.
Oprah, she has not lost a step. She has nabbed the first interview with Bobby Christina, Whitney Houston's daughter.
Mm. Thank God.
Huh?
Thank God.
It will air on OWN, the mm-hmm. one network of Oprah's that I've not killed.
Give it time, yeah.
Oops, I shouldn't mention that while current's there. Shh, quiet. My network killing abilities.
Yeah. Do they know that you killed Oxygen?
I didn't. Well, I already had 2 shows, but
well,
I did the best I could.
You had more shows than any other person on that network.
Stephanie, this is Al Gore. You yes. know what? I think maybe we made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you should consider a different line of work. Okay. Too many things, it's not working for me.
Okay.
We're going to take all the recordings of your show and put them in a lockbox, make them lie buried deep underground where they can never harm listeners or viewers again.
I think he wants me to concede before I actually start.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? See what I did there? Okay.
Oh, come on.
Now.
Oh, boy. Okay, there goes the show for. Yeah, great. Thanks.
Nice. Nice. Don't fight the recount.
Mm.
All right.
Don't fear the reaper.
Can we fix that in post?
Yeah, okay. You can edit that part out, right? Nobody's.
Yeah.
All right. Whitney Houston left everything to her daughter, Bobby Christina. She gets, will receive part of the money, more of it at age 25. Oh, upon turning one, she gets part of 21, part of it 25, part of it, and then the balance at 30.
All right.
Yeah. Hmm?
Yeah, good.
Houston's trustees can give her the money for various purposes, including tuition, to buy a home, or to start a business. I'm just, okay, or maybe give money to
Stephanie Miller.
All right. I don't know. Is it a chick thing, John? All
what?
Of my friends, we were very, upset about the Whitney Houston thing.
Well, you should be. It was terribly upsetting. And it's interesting because I was in L.A. and I was hosting The Point for the Young Turks, which is their web show, which everyone should watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I said I wanted to devote a whole segment to Whitney Houston, and we had a USC professor on who was railing at me for doing so. But, you know, it's a legitimate news story for a number of reasons. Number one, most of us feel like we knew Whitney better than we knew our own cousins. I mean, she was a part of all of our lives. We grew up with her. And again, what no one's talking about, if this was due to prescription drug overdoses, more people die from prescription drug overdoses now in this country than from auto accidents.
Right.
So it's totally political, it's totally relevant, and it's a discussion we're not hearing anywhere in the media. And people loved her and cared about her, and it's a tragedy. She had a lot of great music left to make.
And can I say, as someone that covers this every day and shouldn't be shocked by the right wing, I was shocked. Because she wasn't a political figure, and yet if you went on the Fox website after she died, it was just stomach-turning.
Yeah.
N-word this, mm-hmm. N-word that, you know,
yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. Anyway,
yeah.
So, yeah.
What a shock.
Exactly, I know. That was
the shocking part
is I'm shocked by something I found on Fox Nation.
I don't mind people who say the N-word because, you know, political correctness began as a way to be nice to people, but it kind of devolved into, like, you know, a cretin cloaking device. When someone's going to actually say that word, I want to know someone's a racist so I don't waste time getting to know them. It's more like now we have this new wave of, like, right-wing people who are furious they can't say the N-word. Well, why do the rappers get to say it and I can't? Which is endlessly hilarious. You know, it's like 400 years of white people telling black folks what they can't do in our culture,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, black folks have told white people, don't say one word. Just one. That's all they've ever asked.
Just give us that. Just one word.
Dr. Laura.
Right. Yeah, exactly. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, we continue Fridays with Fuglesang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after
the
hour.
If you like the show, put a ring on it.
Yeah. Mm. John Fugelsang, you know, sexy liberal tour director Roland and I went on vacation together between Phoenix and Chicago, sexy liberal.
Oh, is that what that's what they call it now?
Yeah. Yeah. This is how you torture a man, gay or straight. I couldn't sleep, as I'm a noted insomniac, and I had Sex in the City 2 on, and Roland woke up screaming in horror because Liza Minnelli was singing All the Single Ladies.
Why would you watch that film? What is going on?
Yeah, why were you watching that? That is notoriously bad.
What, you hate straight women? Why would you watch that?
Liza Minnelli, it's in the news. She wants to babysit Beyonce's daughter. She's very close to Beyonce, which apparently is why she was singing All the Single Ladies.
Okay.
All right.
I don't know about being babysat by Liza Minnelli. I don't know why that just seems traumatizing in itself. Okay. Yeah, I still, you know, I still can't. John, did you watch any of the Michael Jackson coverage with Larry King when Liza was on?
No.
Oh, it remains my favorite
yikes
television moment ever.
I wanted to, but that was my night to go
stick needles and do something.
Yeah, perform sex acts on the homeless. Yeah,
she kept calling him honey because he brought up the Mullen station. Like, oh honey, Larry, oh honey, it was never true, Larry. Oh honey, he was like Liza, calm down.
I will say that the wedding picture with her and David Guest and Liza.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. But no, I love Liza. I really have hopes for Liza.
She was brilliantly funny in Arrested Development.
She's a great talent. She needs to be on Broadway. She needs to be touring.
Doreen in Chicago, I think I broke a hip watching her, though, sing single leg. She was doing high kicks. I was like, oh,
she can
Liza,
do that.
No.
On Arrested Development, she was doing backward somersaults on the grass.
No, holy crap.
Yeah.
Doreen in Chicago. Hi, Doreen.
Hi, Friday was so awesome, and I am the official button provider of the Stephanie Miller Show. I gave you the Bo Obama button.
Oh, awesome. Oh, you mean Saturday in Chicago. Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
John and I are like, did we do a Friday show? We don't remember.
Friday was good, too.
All right, go ahead.
Hal did a show. Gloria Allred wrote to Palm Beach County's attorney to prosecute Rush Limbaugh because in the Florida laws, he has broken the law.
How so?
So it's in under KTLA LA. They have a story about it. I wanted to let you know.
How so? You're talking about slander?
Drugs without prescription?
The relative statute reads in part defamation. Whoever speaks of and concerning any woman, married or unmarried, falsely and maliciously imputing to her a want of chastity shall be guilty of a misdemeanor of the first degree.
Wow.
Wow. I hadn't heard that. I assumed, I know people are talking about suing him civilly for slander, but yeah, I hadn't heard that.
I'd want to assume uncivilly.
There's nothing civil about suing.
Uncivil way possible.
Yeah. Larry in Chicago. Hello, Larry.
Hey, Steph. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, I got a comment about, what question about Mitt Romney.
Yes.
Okay, we know he's a Mormon, right?
Right.
Okay, so we all know that, well, I'm assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, that Mormons, at one point, they allow black African-American people to be part of the religion.
To hold the priesthood.
Right.
They've always been big on proselytizing to Africans. African Americans, though.
But African Americans could not hold a priesthood or take part in temple sealing ceremonies until 78.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Mitt Romney was a member of the church at that time.
Oh, yes.
Why isn't he getting any scrutiny for that? Because could you imagine if that would have been Obama and he was a member of a church? That
I mean, there's been some, I can't remember, John, you ecclesiastical MOOC may know this more than I, but there were some horribly racist things written, right, early on in the Mormon. I can't remember how they referred to black people.
They were very prescient in that they were talking about the mark of Herman Cain, which was, even 999 years ago.
When Mitt was much younger then, of course, but when Mitt talks about the faith of his fathers, that's exactly what he's talking about, the exclusion of African Americans. Right. Now, this was justified, as many fundamentalist Christian sects have, by the children of Ham, which is this belief that after Noah and the Ark landed, if you read the Bible, Noah got drunk. One of his kids walked in on him, saw him naked, and this kid, for looking on his drunk, passed out, naked father, was then cursed for all generations. And the belief was that someone made up was that this son, Ham, was black, and that's why slavery was justified by so-called Christians for many, many years.
Yeah, I think we were momentarily distracted by the baptizing of dead Holocaust victims. Which, seemed
again,
a little more, so we didn't get to the racism yet.
I have something I want to say about that, too, but this is why, trying to blame Obama for this economy he inherited is like trying to blame Mitt Romney for the racism of the religion that he inherited, okay? He didn't make it up, and he's part of a new wave of undoing it, and Obama's the same thing with the Bush economy. So, you can't do it. But I want to say one thing about the baptisms, because after, I have a little announcement.
By the way, are you still gay marrying dead Mormons on your...
That's exactly what I want to tell you. I'm starting my own web series with Maker Studios. And I was just in L.A. last week filming our first few episodes, and I first learned the Mormons were doing this proxy baptism thing from George Carlin's daughter, Kelly, who's a friend of your show,
yep.
Stephanie.
Yep.
And Kelly was the one who told me that George, who we all know is very anti-religion, was proxy baptized into the Mormon faith. Now, if you've made it to the grave without becoming a Mormon, chances are you didn't want it. So, but if you really believe, and now they baptized Anne Frank in the Dominican Republic two weeks ago.
Nice.
So if you really believe that your religion is so right that you have an obligation to baptize people into it, whether they want to or not, we're doing the same thing, because Kelly Carlin and I both belong to the same neo-pagan satanic cult in Southern California. So we jot a sketch, which was with a comedic dream team of Paul Provenza, Edie McClurg, Phil Lamar from Mad TV, and Frank Connor from Mystery Science Theater. We baptized Mitt's great-grandfather Miles as a Satanist and gay marry him to Karl Marx.
Oh, yes! You are indeed a scamp. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is deeply religious.
If I had those knockers, I'd be thanking God, too.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Mike writes, I might have missed it, but did Steph commit one of her awesome belches for the current TV Guys soundcheck?
Oh, no.
Oh, I forgot that. I'll get to that later. Do we have anything in my contract sans burps or not?
I haven't seen anything.
All right, well.
Do you even have a contract, or did they just show up?
I don't really even know. 1-800-STEPH-12. Jim in Boise, Idaho, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hello there, Stephanie. I just wondered, is there a chance that we can have the Stephanie Miller Show with the MOOCs on current TV? It looks like there's got to be an opening over there, and now I'd love to see you guys on TV. I saw you the one time on MSNBC, and I thought it was a big hit. I know you act like you didn't think it was too good, but whatever.
Yeah.
You guys are the funniest.
Thank you. Jim, what a great idea. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
That's
awesome.
Jim, you've just tuned in, haven't you?
Bill Press is going over there.
I know. I've heard that. Jim, let me break the news for you right now. We're going to be televised on current TV, Jim, just because you said so right now.
Well, I want you on there.
Yeah, we're going to be on there coming up in very shortly, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Don't tell him that Darth Vader's Luke's father.
Pardon me? Okay,
hey, Steph, can I make a quick correction?
Yes.
For like 5 seconds? A second ago, I was talking about the sketch I shot about where we're going to baptize Miles P. Romney as a Satanist.
Yes.
And I neglected to mention that Steven Weber is also in that sketch.
He is hilarious.
He just wrote to me on Twitter demanding I mention him. And Lorraine Newman, too. So.
I love Steven Weber.
Oh, yes. And he loves you.
Mm-mm-mm.
And me.
And his Twitter feed is the best thing on Twitter.
It's hilarious.
Seriously.
All right. Rick Frothy, the Santorum, yesterday.
If you go out and deliver a conservative victory for us on Tuesday, this race will become a two-person race. And
right.
When it becomes a two-person race for the Republican nomination, the conservative will win that nomination.
He's right.
It's frothy country, that's for sure, down there. Rick Santorum again on
conservative
Alabama.
Conservative Alabama. The heart of conservatism.
Woo-hoo!
Cannot fail.
Yeah.
No.
Cannot fail us.
Well.
No.
Tell that to Sherman.
Yeah. Exactly.
Newt Gingrich also running for president of Crackerland. He his aides have said that he needs to win Alabama and Mississippi Tuesday.
Perfect.
To justify staying in the race. Jim, guess who's getting in the game? Gary Bauer.
What?
Why?
Prominent
social conservative has endorsed Santorum, said Gingrich could best help the conservative cause by stepping aside.
Nice. And he's right.
Gary Bauer, creepy ex-presidential candidate.
I will flip him like a pancake. Oops.
Ow. That's funny because he looks like Peter Lorre.
Yeah,
Gary Bauer.
He looks like a Batman villain. But, he's entirely right. And Gingrich's campaign is hanging on like Abe Vigoda. As soon as if he were to step aside, Santorum would be polling higher than Romney in every Republican poll, and he would start beating him. And we could have a really fun debate.
He would be polling higher in the Santorum surge, is what you're saying?
See where you went with that.
Santorum would rise higher.
Exactly.
Yes.
All right, Santorum.
Are we asking people who are Tea Party folks to join us? You bet. Do we want them not to support Newt? Yes, we want them to support me.
I want Romney voters to support. I want everyone to support us. That's what we're running for. But no, if someone from my campaign is putting out that message, they're either misinterpreting it or they're certainly not coming for me, and I don't support it.
That'd make it a very frothy tea then.
Yeah.
Tea party is. Drinking.
Well, mm-hmm. That's because tea is the new Kool-Aid.
Exactly. Right.
And nudie yesterday.
We are staying in this race because I believe that it's going to be impossible for a moderate to win the general election.
Yeah, his campaign is out of money, you know, because they can't afford good microphones, obviously.
I wonder if he's been hearing this lately. Sheldon? Nudie again.
Mississippi really matters next season.
Oh, Mississippi matters every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. By the way, I love this. John, you you and I have been in person, we've been, acquainted with the Ron Paul fans.
Yes. Love them.
Ron Paul's top strategists are confused and frustrated that the wild enthusiasm they see at their campaign rallies and events is not translating into votes. Thousands turned out to see him at events in Alaska, Idaho, and North Dakota. Paul had said publicly and privately that he could win all three of those states, but
No. It turns out stoners don't show up to the polls.
Well, he came in second in Virginia.
No. Repeatedly all year,
it's
Paul
a two-person race.
Have had more bark than bite. More than 9,000 caucused in Boise. Electioneering is allowed, and Paul backers were the loudest. And most energetic, and when each guy got a chance to cheer when the voting began, it was Mitt Romney, who actually won quite easily. But they are the loudest. You remember, this is the first time we got heckled at a sexy liberal show. Mm-hmm. Remember San Francisco?
Yeah, that was my fault, too. Because
during the Q&A, somebody said, Obama's a war criminal! Go Ron Paul!
It was a Ron Paul guy wearing clown makeup, and that was my fault, because I went and gave 150 tickets away to occupiers in Oakland as a thank you gift.
That's where that came from.
Thanks, John.
I'm guessing that was me, but I'm not... We all agreed on doing that. But we were supporting them. It was right after Scott Olson got beamed in the head by the Oakland PD.
That's right.
But the thing about Ron Paul, and I with respect, because my cousins in Virginia were two of his campaign chairs. Yes, I'm half Southern. But why they really hate Ron Paul, it's not because of his crazy ideas like dismantling Medicare. They hate him because one half of Ron Paul is a true conservative who is for gay marriage because that's the conservative point of view, who is against the drug war and these stupid wars overseas because that's the conservative point of view, because the Republican Party is not conservative. They're neocons.
Yeah, well, it's the things he says that are true that get booed, the debates. Reagan traded arms for hostages. And then his little tiny head just recedes into his big giant cartoon suit. Sorry. Did you see Joe the Plumber blow a gasket on CNN?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean the man who's not
Samuel Wurzelbacher?
Yes.
Which is Root Brooker.
He accused CNN of being like TMZ and trying to trap him with gotcha questions. And he said that he is sick of the gossip and the drama.
Wait a minute. He considers asking him about his views on gay people. That's gossip and drama?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. He said the host went National Enquirer on him by asking about his previous statements on gays. He said they want to paint someone as a bigot.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I don't hate people. I'm working for everybody.
He is a bigot.
Why did you say you didn't want those people around your children?
Yeah.
And he didn't say. He said he didn't want queers around his children. Yes. Google what he actually said.
She asked him about his previous statements, including his claim the word queer is not a slur, as well as the declaration that he would not allow homosexuals anywhere near his children. I believe we have the
I'm going to work towards all Americans, homosexual, straight. They want jobs. That's what it comes down to. I'm allowed to have my opinions as an American, but it seems the left becomes very intolerant when you have an opinion other than what they state. My opinions are mine.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have your opinions, and we're allowed to call you out on it. Republicans, these conservatives who always talk about how freedom isn't free, don't like the fact that there are consequences to your free speech.
She just said, so have you changed your positions at all? And he says, so this is TMZ, this isn't CNN, that's what you're saying. She said, of course it's CNN, these are things that you've said, and I'd like to know if you still stand by them or if you've changed your position.
Gotcha question!
Yeah.
Trying to get me to admit something I said.
Let's see. Listen, in my dictionary, in everyone's dictionary in the 1970s, the word queer did mean strange and unusual. There was no slur to it. Do you challenge that?
Yeah, and the word cracker meant a riff.
Yes, dopey. Everybody knows that it's a slur at this point. He said, come on, you're trying to do a gotcha moment. It's quite obvious. After the interview, he said, I'm not going to sit there and be persecuted. If they're going to take me on, they better be ready to take me on.
Well, they took you on.
They took him on and then dropped him like a sack of potatoes. So that was, yes, up against the fearsome power of his intellect,
I guess. Sack of oranges and apples.
Exactly.
He's the only one still in favor of 999, even though they've told him it just benefits
the rich.
It just
doesn't work.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah. Laura in Texas. Hey, Laura.
Going to make him think of his own
hi,
plan?
Mama.
Hello. Go ahead, Laura.
Hi. I'm so happy to be talking to you. And, John, I'm just going to faint that I'm talking to you.
Why?
Because you're just a beacon of light. Thank you so much for everything.
Oh, bless you. You so would have turned me down in high school.
No, I would not have. I would not have. But anyway, I wanted to thank you guys this morning. First thing in the morning, I hear you all talking about how Rush Limbaugh was pretty much being a bully to Miss Fluk. And that's how I've been feeling this whole time. You know, just made me so sick to hear about it. And what made me even more upset, I think, is I guess the right saying, well, the left does it too, and... The thing is that it's actually...
It's the false equivalency game. They play it every time.
It really, really is. She was a person who was speaking out for women, and he's bashing her for that. And that no one's really taking that into consideration. It's, you know, kind of tit for tat. But what has she done to anybody that justifies what he has done to her?
Yep.
And no one has been saying that. You all said that this morning. And I so appreciate it. Thank you, thank you.
Aw, thank you, Laura.
Thank you. You're
all
beautiful.
All right. Danny in California agrees with Joe the Plumber. Hi, Danny. Hi, Danny. Hello.
Aw.
Danny.
Aw. He got scared.
Pussicus. Let's go to Woody in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Woody.
Hey, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. This is Ithaca, the home of Cornell University, where Sandra
Bloch
graduated from. And we all are very well proud of her and her bold step. But what I wanted to talk about is this gentleman that you had on earlier who is running for the former congresswoman in Arizona's seat, Gifford, who also is a Cornell graduate. But this former, this senator now, you see the same gun rhetoric. I don't know, these leaders, they call themselves senators, and they sit up there and talk about guns and shooting people in the head to get legislation passed. How is that so much of a leadership role that someone who is a United States senator should be saying? Because we have a lot of unstable people in the society in our various communities, and reference to the event that led to, you know, the former congresswoman being shot. So, I mean, I don't know whether these Republicans, when they talk about gun and when they talk about shooting, what do they think when they're saying it? Do they think that everybody in the community is just okay and it's fine that we can talk about it, that we don't have any unstable people in the community mentally?
Yes, absolutely. All right, I'm running short on time. But, we did a story yesterday, John, that there's a run on guns in Texas based on the fear of a second Obama term. Because, of course, he has said nothing about guns.
No, that's the biggest lie. And you know what? If you want to make some quick cash, tell an NRA member that Eric Holder wants your guns. They won't even check the facts. They'll just send you money.
Yep. Right. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the waning moments. Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This was so funny in my head when I planned it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. She'd have to go to spinning class for 4 hours if you poured sugar on her. Nuts.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
High fructose corn syrup.
This hour brought to you by Solar World. Solar World has been making solar panels right here in America since 1975. Go to solarworld.com. Find out more about the leader in American solar. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Senator Yertle, Senator Mitch McLiplis, talking about the Keystone Pipeline.
It's incomprehensible to me that the President of the United States, I read, is actually lobbying against the Keystone Pipeline Amendment. Great.
See, you think he would thank the president because the president's trying to save natural habitat and, of course, the
turtle tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just saying. Yeah. Trying to preserve Mitch McConnell's natural habitat.
Yeah.
In case he ever wants to escape the terrarium.
This lettuce tastes like crude oil. What's that all about?
Let's go to Ron in Minnesota. Hey, Ron.
Stephanie.
Yes, baby.
Gabe, how are you doing? Love you guys' show. I've already bought the tickets for Minnesota. My wife and I are coming.
That's the Aisha Tyler show. You better. Yeah. I would wear a cup.
Very excited about that. Right. Just a comment on, I've worn an Obama cap. I get a kick out of these people that are afraid to wear a sticker, put a sticker or a sign in front of their home. I've worn, before the race, I ran stickers on my truck, my semi, all over the United States. After he won, I felt very proud of the fact I voted for somebody that finally won. I put an Obama cap on. My wife buys me four. Every time she goes to D.C., she brings me home Obama caps.
Good.
I've worn them, and the unique thing is I wore them for fun at first, and then when I found out what people really thought, it's amazing. Some of the stories that I could tell you about out on life on the road with an Obama cap.
Yeah, I tell you what, Ron, I'm wearing my, if you can see on Ustream, my Barack Obama Hope little poster on a pendant. And I don't. I let my freak flag fly whenever I can.
Yeah. No, we've been at big events in Orlando, Florida. I've had people come down out of the stands, walk by me, and come over and whisper, "I like your Obama cap."
Yeah, well, they have to whisper.
And put it on, you know.
Yeah, because in case you haven't noticed, he's black, and some areas of the country, you can't say that out loud.
History will make these people very happy about their choices.
Ron, you can blow your trucker horn for me if you are an Obama apologist like I am. Go ahead. That sounds like a tea kettle.
Wow, that sounds like a train.
Wow, thank you, Conductor Ron. Thank you. Wow, hey.
Engineer Ron.
I
get called an Obama apologist every day, and I have a snappy comeback. You know what it is.
What is it?
You.
All right. I get called an Obama apologist. I get called an Obama apologist and an Obama basher every day. That's how I know I'm doing something right.
All right. Let's go to Michael in New York City. Hi, Mike. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, sexy liberal mama.
Hello, baby.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Hey, guys. You know,
us too.
This whole thing with the Rush Limbaugh thing is one critical factor a lot of people haven't taken notice of, and that is the rhetoric on that Limburger's mouth. It's always leading to some kind, I shouldn't say always, but has most of the time led to criminal actions towards his targets by some nutbag that is listening, and they become inspired by his words. The women have been attacked. The minorities have been attacked. There's been cases here in New York City. And how can we forget the Tiller, the baby killer from Bill O'Reilly leading to the murder of George Tiller? And that's why a lot of people still connect the Sarah Palin crosshairs target map to the shooting of Gabby Giffords.
Well, we just had Ron Barber on this morning, who was also shot in that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but let me point this out. There are two things I'm so sick and tired of. I'm sick and tired of these right-wingers using the microphone and airwaves as what I would call as a weapon to inspire their listeners to go out and commit these actions, and then they hide behind the same microphone and airwaves claiming First Amendment and expecting absolute immunity. And since they want to claim that, the lefties want to violate our First Amendment rights, they got a lot of nerve claiming that. You know, where the hell was their courtesy of First Amendment rights to Sandra Fluke?
That's right. Exactly. What about her First Amendment right? The right to speak out without being called a slut.
And you're allowed to say whatever you want, but there are consequences to your actions. That's the conservative point of view.
All right. Yeah, and by the way, I did some interviews this week for the new current thing, and they were saying, well, you call yourself a slut. I'm like, so? And your point is? All right.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a Y chromosome, you're a de facto slut.
So?
Slut! She's a slut! Look at her, slut!
Democratic Convention Chair and L.A. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is the latest in a growing list of Democrats to endorse marriage equality in the 2012 Democratic platform.
Wow.
He said equality is basic to who we are, integral to family values. We all ought to be able to have a family to marry if you want to, and I don't think the government should be in the business of denying people the fundamental right to marry. Hey, that would be awesome if it were in the official plank.
Of which party?
Oh, by the way, in a completely unrelated story, Sheriff Babuz... from Pinal County?
Yes. I'm not even going to correct you anymore.
Pinal.
Spread them, punk.
Sheriff Babu of Pinal County His ex-boyfriend has filed a paper which indicates he plans to sue both the sheriff and the county, according to reports. He's Babu, who is running for Congress in Pinal County.
Mm-hmm. Pinal.
Excuse me?
Pinal.
That's not the way Roger Hedgehog says it.
Cock.
Pardon me?
Roger Hedgecock.
Oh, I get that wrong
you
all the time,
You keep getting
too.
That wrong.
I'm sorry, the right-wing radio host Roger Hedgecock, and I
yes.
apologize to him once again. Yeah, he was the one he threatened to have him deported, reportedly, for
wow.
if he outed him.
I'm really glad that Arizona is running a Republican gay sheriff who sleeps with Mexicans. I think that's great. That's the diversity
it's progress.
We're looking
for. I'll take it. It's progress.
It's
hey,
a
speaking
dry
of,
hate.
Speaking, it is a dry
yeah.
hate in
yeah.
Arizona.
Well, yeah.
Could you take out your organ for me? John, this is for you, and it's because it's about ecclesiastical matters and not pot. Pat
what?
Robertson says pot should be legal like alcohol.
Yes, he does. Pat Robertson is to the left of the president.
Yeah,
wow.
why? I don't understand. Sometimes he makes sense. I don't know.
He does make sense.
Him.
Well, he made sense
on global
warming.
Well, that's because
he's
old and getting senile.
No,
it's not. He's forgetting things.
Listen, it's not. We may want to think that Pat Robertson is 100% evil, but he's not. He's a product of his environment. He came out in favor of global warming science, and he's right. He's saying we got to stop locking people up for a flower that grew here naturally many centuries before white people did.
That's so ganja is the Lord's Fruit Loops.
Because American is apple pie, and if you smoke the top part, you want to eat a lot of apple pie.
All right. You know what? I can't top ganja is the Lord's Fruit Loops, so we're going to finish the show there and urge you to go to sexyliberal.com, follow us, Sexy Liberal on Facebook, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. John Fugelsang, Fugelsang.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, check him out. Sexy Liberal, his own bad self. And don't forget, up next, Albuquerque. Buy tickets.
Albuquerque.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Steph.
We'll see you Monday.
Great show last week.
Thank you, baby. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.